This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
All right, this woman is miserable. Can you imagine you're holding a wedding at your home? You're using the yard. You got a whole wedding set up, a caterer. You got the chuppah.
The chuppah.
Which was custom carved by, what's his name?
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, yeah. With his
crooked 77 man hours.
With his crooked penis nose.
He whittled.
This is terrible. This neighbor intentionally ruined the wedding across the street and drowned out the ceremony with a lawnmower, a weed whacker.
That's awesome.
All right, Frog.
No, it's awesome, but it's hilarious.
This is not awesome.
They're trying to take
What's the relationship between the neighbors?
Well, there's
they hate each other.
Yeah. Well, apparently, it's something bad. Apparently, there's some problem between the neighbors. This miserable neighbor, it looks like, intentionally ruined the wedding across the street by doing loud lawn work during the wedding.
Oh, that's...
You can hear, during the ceremony, you can hear the lawnmower, you can hear the weed whacker. It's like she's like, whatever makes noise, she's trying to do it during the wedding. So there must be some previous prior history between the neighbors. There are hundreds of thousands of views so far. The second the bride song came on and she starts walking down the aisle, this Karen decided to purposely mow her lawn and yell at us to ruin the wedding. That's the text on the video. And people are calling it, the miserable Karen ruins wedding. I've got audio. You want to hear the audio?
Oh, my God, please.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do you take Susan? It's something like that.
Uh-huh. I'm getting you in the mood, Fester.
Where's the Fester's
over here waiting. I legitimately thought you had audio from the wedding.
Don't rush me.
So beautiful. You're making this up.
I thought you, wait, was that real actual audio? Like, is she walking down?
No. It's MJ playing, isn't that a Wagner piece or something?
I was like, wow, this is the clearest audio of a wedding ever.
That's really good audio.
Here's the actual video. I was just trying to set the wedding mood here, guys. Okay. And here's the actual audio.
It's a windy day. What is that? Is that a Ryobi?
I'm confused.
What?
Is any of this actual audio from the event?
That is actual
audio. Like a guess.
Was that a weed whacker?
I couldn't. Yeah. There was a weed whacker and there was lightning?
That was a weed whacker. So
wind was blowing.
As the wedding begins and the bride is walking down the aisle. She whips out the weed whacker to try to ruin the wedding.
If you really want to break out a loud lawn appliance, you got to do the big blowers, the kind you put on your back.
Oh, the gasoline-powered. Yeah,
the worst.
The gasoline-powered blowers that the lawn guys use.
I feel bad for those guys. Yeah,
to blow all of the grass clippings and the leaves into the street.
I would start brush washing the fence so all the water goes through the slots. Get everybody wet.
Little chunks of the ceremony, which included...
That's not cool, man.
Sharing the vows, the bride gracing the aisle, and then... You can see the Karen across the street, and she's just making all the noise with the lawn equipment. There's some history here. We don't know what the history is, but that is a nasty... Even if you've got bad blood among neighbors, you've got to be a special kind of jackass.
I have a neighbor that would do that.
To do lawn work while a wedding is happening across the street at your neighbor's house.
Well, you're not getting a full story. It's not like the person getting married is a saint. What? Who knows? They could have been tormenting these people forever.
I've just said that. We don't know the history here.
You know that kind of person.
We don't know the total backstory here, but it's a nasty, nasty story.
It is. Every neighborhood has that one person that doesn't care about anybody else and is going to ruin everything.
Yeah, I know. I'm that person in my neighborhood.
You beat me to the punch. I was going to say, in Fester's neighborhood, that's Fester.
All my neighbors hate me.
Usually it's like a single guy who's been living there since their parents have had it. Doesn't do the lawn.
One person was asked if there was a beef between the neighbors. The user who posted the clip online confirmed that there apparently was not a reason why the neighbor was being rude. So at least one person is suggesting that there's not some kind of history between the neighbors. So why would they ruin the wedding with lawn equipment during a ceremony?
Street parking.
What's worse, the lawn equipment being ruining the wedding, or that one Walt Disney guy that ruined the wedding that came and grabbed the ring?
Well, that was an engagement. That was a proposal.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that before we went on vacation, yeah. Right? Was that at Paris? It was Euro Disney or something, right? Yeah.
It'll be just as lovely over here, please.
Maybe they weren't invited. That neighbor wasn't invited to the wedding.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like a judge.
I wasn't invited. Sure. Yeah. If I'm not invited to the wedding, I'm going to ruin the wedding.
Nobody's going to have a good time if I can't come here to this wedding.
Maybe he loves the bride. Lover school.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
I want to get to Fester's interesting weekend. And for those that don't know, Fester works at General RV. After we ended the MJ Morning Show, the first round back in 2012, Fester was just flopping around trying to figure out what am I going to do. And then Fester turns into an RV salesman at General RV.
He did a lot before that. He got his degree. You drove a limo for a while. Remember that?
I did. It was fun.
Tanning salons?
I owned my tanning salons.
No, that was during the MJ Morning Show, though.
I sold them like in 2013.
Right.
Yeah.
So Fester did a couple of things before he settled on what his next phase of his career was going to be when we ended the MJ Morning Show in 2012. So he ends up at General RV and he's selling RVs. And General RV's right on I-4 out in Dover. Now, Fester, you had a very interesting deal over the weekend. What happened?
So I've probably sold over 1,000 RVs in my time there. A lot of RVs. I've never had one like this. I meet a older couple, super nice people, and the RV they currently had wasn't working for them anymore.
Why not? When the wheels fall off on I-75?
It was a little too much for them.
So they use the line that you told me you tell old people?
What's that?
That you know, something like they're so old that they you never know they might die soon, so you should get this. It was something you used to say to old people.
No. What is closer line?
When old people come by, right, and they say, "Well, I'm gonna think about it."
Yeah, that's it.
They're like, "Think about what? Think about what? You're about you're 90. What the hell are you gonna think about? In any case, if you have an 85-year-old in your life, and they're like, they really want to do something, but their answer is, well, you know, I still have to think about it.
No, you better hurry up. Well, you might have much more time to think about
it. Okay.
Let's get back on the road here. So what happened over the
super
weekend?
Super nice couple.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're
like 60s, 70s?
Yeah, maybe in their late 60s. Maybe in their mid-70s.
Mid-70s.
Right? And they wanted a smaller travel trailer.
Okay.
And I find the travel trailer for him. Mama loves it.
So this is to tow behind
their truck.
A pickup truck.
Right. Behind their pickup truck, right? They had a nice truck.
So that's called the fifth wheel?
No. Fifth wheel's in the truck bed.
Oh, okay.
This is on the hitch.
Okay, this is a hitch.
A little 21-foot single axle travel trailer. Right. Just to go.
Something manageable.
Just to go out camping.
Okay.
So we find it.
You find the right unit for them.
They're trading in their other RV.
Mm-hmm.
They're trading in a small vehicle. And we're negotiating back and forth, and we get to a great price for them. And Mama folds her arms, and she's like, nope.
Mama folds her arms and says, no, she's playing hardball Fester at General RV.
So I'm like, okay, all right, we can work through this. Let's figure this whole thing out. And she tells me her price.
Here's my price.
I'm like, all right, baby. Hold on. Listen, let me, I take her offer up to my sales manager. I do what I'm supposed to do, right? And her price was really, really ridiculously low.
So, I mean, she was being very aggressive.
She was being super aggressive.
And do you really take it to a guy?
Yeah, I really. I don't own the place. Everything goes through
to the guy.
I always thought they just went to the bathroom.
No, everything goes through the guy.
Let me talk to my manager. Let me see if we can get something done.
Yeah, listen, and the manager looks at it and goes, "This is really too low. We can't. If we can do it, we would absolutely do it. We're here to sell RVs."
As they say, how far apart were you guys?
We were $1,000 apart.
Well, that doesn't sound that bad.
That could be the difference between profit or no profit.
It's the difference between
you guys got to keep the lights on.
Eventually, there's a price where every company says, listen, I can't do that deal. If I could, I would. So she was at $8,000 difference. We were at $9,000 difference. That was our bottom price. We were about to say goodbye to each other over a relatively small amount of money. So I'm talking with her. I'm like, is there anything else? How else could we come up with a difference here? I was like, is there anything else you could trade in? And she's like what? I was like, I don't know. Anything of value? She's already trading an RV. She's already trading in a small car. She's like what? And I was like, I don't know. Do you have any jewelry, lawn equipment, guns, goats?
You would taste guns?
Okay. Oh, everything.
Anything of value?
Anything
really
of value.
I didn't know that.
Anything of value can be sold, and that can make up money in a deal.
What?
I got a couple of turtlets in my front yard.
There's a value to it. You know, we're here to put stuff together.
You take a boat?
So the guys, we've taken a ton of boats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The guy says, what'd you say? And I was like, do you have any, you know, and I'm kind of chuckling because I thought he didn't hear me the first time, but apparently he heard me plain as day. I was like, I said, do you have any goats? And the guy's like, how many goats do you want? And I'm like, what? He's like, I've got goats. Oh, he's like, I've got goats. And I'm like, okay, all right. Now we're putting something together. We got goats. And he's like, how many do you need? And I have to come up with a number now, right? I'm like,
how much is a goat worth?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
What are you going to do with
them? Okay, so I was like,
did you Google how much is a goat worth?
No, because we're at the desk. We're back and forth. The old man's leaning in. The old man stays quiet the entire time.
You know, I'm a goat guy.
Now we're negotiating on goats, and he's like, how many goats do I need to give you to put this whole thing together? And I'm like,
50?
Five
goats?
You
said five?
I said five. I have no idea.
And you don't even know how much goats cost.
No. I don't know what the current market is for goats.
Yeah, they could be worth a couple grand or a couple hundred.
What if they got foot and mouth disease or something?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, that's just a chance.
That's a liability.
I mean, so apparently these are meat goats.
I don't know. I've heard about monkey pox. What if they have goat pox?
I don't know. Dude. I don't know. I'm not a vet.
What's a meat goat?
Well, what do you think a meat goat is?
Well, you have a milk goat.
It eats meat.
No, it's a hero. A meat goat is a hero.
You eat goat. Goat is good. I've had curried goat in Sint Maarten. Yeah,
so
man.
That goat that MJ ate was a meat goat.
Yeah.
What are they?
Going to be slaughtered.
Vegetarian goats?
No. Do you really not put that together?
So the deal's done for five goats?
Well, listen.
We're taking in her trade and five goats.
Okay.
What are you going to do with them?
I don't know. I don't deal with the trades.
So you maybe did a little bit better. You know what goats are worth now, right?
I have no idea. How much are goats worth?
Okay, they're worth between 100 and 300. So you got between 500 and 1500 bucks extra from her.
Wow. Average it.
Hold on. Did you just Google that?
Yeah.
How much is a goat worth?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so $100 to $300. Let's call it $200. I got five goats. That's my $1,000 difference.
There you go.
You did it.
Yeah, but the hassle, you should have just...
It's not a hassle to me.
Do you have to load the goats into your 2004 Lincoln Town Car, pick them up, and bring them somewhere? Who's going to get the goats?
He's
going to
bring the goats in a week from today.
What are you going to feed the goats?
He's going to drop them off at General RV?
He's going to bring them in he would have picked the RV up sooner, but he had to organize and orchestrate the goat delivery. He has to get a livestock... He's like, I got to borrow my brother's livestock trailer.
What a pain this
I'm
is.
I'm just sitting back with my eyes as big as golf balls.
What happens when he drops the goats off at your showroom? What happens?
So we have another guy who's big into agriculture who has land, and he's going to take the goats from the dealership to the property where then we'll sell the goats. So if anybody's looking for a goat.
God, you should have just gave her that extra grand.
Listen,
with all the hassle.
I've been the talk of the dealership.
Because now you're saddled with five goats.
It's not that big a deal. The guy brings in the goats. We shuffle them into another trailer, put them on the land, and sell the goats.
Festo's going to be in the next General RV TV commercial. We'll even take goats. And he holds a goat over his head.
You hear stuff like that. You know, you think it's a joke, but they have a value.
You know who you could sell them to is you could sell them to goat yoga people.
No, they're not yoga goats. So, what?
Oh, that's right. The goat they put on their What is that all
you
about?
You said they put it on their back. It made me think of that.
What is that? I've seen video of that. Why are people putting goats on their back?
Because I always feel like they could poop on you.
What the hell is goat yoga?
So I brought that up to the guy. I was like, "So you're gonna walk five goats into our showroom?"
Right.
And he's like, "Oh no, you don't want goats in your showroom. They'll mess everywhere." And I was like, but goat yoga apparently is where. People put yoga.
They're doing down dog, and they put a goat on their back.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that?
So other salesmen had questions for me.
It's weird.
Are they fainting goats?
Answers, that would be awesome.
No, they're not fainting goats.
Oh, yeah. How do you get those goats to faint?
You scream at them.
You just startle them. They're not fainting goats.
Hey,
they're not milk goats.
What's that goat that laughs? Isn't there that sound bite that we have of the goat that yells or something? What is that?
It was like
the screaming goat.
The screaming goat.
Yeah, find that. You got to find that goat that like screams like a human. That's it.
That's the goat scream.
Andrew,
are you sure that's really a goat?
And right, yeah. This is it. Andrew just brought it. That apparently is a goat. It's not a person screaming.
What if all five of them are screaming like that when they show up?
So anyway,
your customers are going to flee
for the first time.
They're
going
to think there's an emergency if the goats start doing this.
Oh, it's okay.
I've taken in all kinds of things on trade. Oh, I've never taken in goats, and I'm getting my first goats this week.
Wow.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Now let's hit up some morons of the news here on the MJ Morning Show at Q105 643. Hello, everybody. Oh, you know what? Before we get to the morons of the news, Fester just handed me something. And Roxanne, did you get this over the holidays?
I guess I did.
This letter that's handwritten and then there's a drawing on the back.
It's kind of funny that you were talking about my junky bag here because that's where I found it.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Who was it addressed to?
MJ Morning Show.
And so do you collect all the MJ Morning Show mail?
Not customarily,
so
no.
Why do you have it?
I don't know. It just ended up in my bag. So
you don't even know what ends up in your bag?
It must have been. This is what I picture. Someone must have put some mail on top of my stuff, and then I just slid it into that bag because I found it last night.
And when was it postmarked? When did it arrive? Where's the envelope? Can you hand me the envelope?
Yes.
Yeah, just hand me the envelope right over here.
Here, go over here.
All right, hang on a minute. Fester's handing me an envelope. We got a letter from a listener. They sent it to corporate headquarters. Wait a sec. This was sent to corporate headquarters in Naples.
Okay. So that explains why it might have taken a little while to get to us here in St.
Petersburg. Wow. All right. So we have a letter that was handwritten in pencil, by the way, addressed to the MJ Morning Show, but it was sent to our corporate Beasley Media Group headquarters on Riviera Drive in Naples.
I mean, I guess if you look online and you type in Beasley, that might come up as our corporate headquarters.
All right, so you got to see this. We have, and hopefully this individual's listening.
Well, guess what? She listens to morons in the news.
Well, that's why I'm doing it, because Fester just pointed it out to me, and that's why I said, hey, before we get to morons in the news, In fact, I might have to push the segment to the next segment, but I wanted to share this because it's so delightful. It's so sweet. It's so cute. We got an email apparently over the holidays that somehow mysteriously ended up in Roxanne's bag.
Well, she has no idea how it got there.
Nope, no traceability.
And it says, Dear MJ and his crew, my name is Celine, and I'm in fifth grade. I drew you guys because I want to show my appreciation for all that you guys do. I especially love morons in the news because it makes me laugh if I need it. I always watch your show while I'm getting ready for school.
Yeah, so she's on MJTV.
She must be watching MJTV right now. Hey, Celine, I'm looking in the camera. Hey, Celine? Hello, Celine, are you there?
Well,
hello?
She's not going to answer back.
Hello, oh, she's
saying hello.
Hello, Celine. Celine, are you watching MJTV right now? Good morning, Celine. I've got your letter, and I'm going to show the drawing that you drew to all those watching MJTV.
How old is this person?
She's in fifth grade.
Yeah, it says fifth grade.
So it's a good drawing.
Fifth grade makes you what? Nine?
No, 11.
Makes you 11.
Hold on, how old?
Well, I don't know. 11.
That's when your birthday is.
All right. So she loves morons in the news. I love your show. She watches once she's getting ready for school. All right, let me pick it up here. I think you should keep, I love your show and I think you should keep doing it. This was with the whole contract situation, which, by the way, I did over break, like 2 days before the end of the year. I did verbally agree with, Ron, our new general manager. I agreed to re-sign the contract. And then I finally, like, dropped off my signed contract yesterday. So I dropped that off at the office.
Congratulations.
So I've extended for a year. I've just extended 1 year. Before you know it, it's like renegotiation time again. You know, late summer is when, like, renegotiation would start again if they want to have us back.
Remember the old days when he re-signed and he made us chant in the studio, four more years, four more years. He was so excited. I was like, wow, it must have been a good contract.
Four more years.
And you signed this one, you're like, yeah, I guess.
One more year. 11 and a half months left.
Radio's not quite what it used to be for talent. It's
just
not,
sure not.
Not quite what it used to be. Anyway, so she wants us to keep doing the show. Well, good news, I'm here for at least the rest of the year. But who knows? Because you can sign a contract, they can blow you out 2 weeks later.
Yeah, that don't matter, really.
You've seen that before.
Yeah. All right. So I love your show. I think you should keep doing it. The funniest thing was about 2 or 3 days ago, you told us that a police chief broke into someone's house. Oh, remember that?
Vaguely. But yeah.
That was a morons in the news story that we did just before we went on Christmas break. And a police chief was busted for burglary. What a schmuck. What else? Scandal. She writes scandalous.
She's right.
With an exclamation point. Anyways, love your show. I would love it if you guys wrote me back. If you can write me back, mail it to, and then her address is here. Oh, she's in Wesley Chapel, and her name is Celine. And then Celine drew this picture, the MJ Morning Show picture of me, Froggy, Fester, and Roxanne. And it is pretty good. I'm going to hold it up to the camera right now.
And so, I want to point something out. Yeah. I mean, the eyes are quite good. They're very representative of all of us.
Am I wearing a duty hat?
You know, we took a staff photo, kind of a joke photo, where I'm smoking a cigar and MJ's kind of has his arms on his hips.
Oh, that's what it is.
And you have like a sling on because of all of your stupid stunts in the studio, and you have like something on your head.
Yeah.
And then Roxanne's giving us a glare.
Celine, if you're listening right now, can you call us?
That's Ted's idea, by the way.
Celine, if you are listening, call us quickly. 800-990-1047. I'd like to say hi. So Celine, the fifth grader, who wrote us this lovely letter and then drew this caricature of the crew, which I'm going to show to the camera here in a minute. Celine, if you're listening right now, and let me hold this up to the camera. Look at this.
All right, so
look at this. There's Roxanne. Is it coming out well?
All right, yeah.
So Roxanne, there's Froggy looking like
expression of his eyes. Right? She kind of got that, and then she got my alien size eyes.
And then she drew me very large, like I'm larger than life.
In the photograph, I think you're standing 2 or 3 feet in front of us. Gotcha. So you are you're larger in the photo.
Okay. So there's me, and then there's Fester.
A very thin fester.
And yeah, what's up with that?
Fester on Ozempic.
And it's supposed to be like you're smoking a cigar, I think, but it looks like you're smoking a joint.
First of all, did you run out of pencil, Celine? Because I'm like 20 times that.
Oh,
fast.
That's right. Why is Fester so skinny?
So skinny.
Why didn't you draw Fester like a big fat guy?
Did you look skinny in that photo?
No, I don't look skinny in any photo.
But she got your eyes good, too. Like, kind of a...
All right, so, Celine, this is awesome. So, thank you, Celine. I'm holding the picture up.
Roxanne's a big fan of eye drawings of 11-year-olds, apparently.
I am.
Oh, the eyes, though. The eyes. But this, have you seen the eyes?
It's true. She's a good artist. Okay.
This is awesome.
That's how you can tell.
Is that Celine listening? Oh, this is great. All right, Celine is listening to the program. Hey, Celine.
Hello.
Celine, you wrote us the letter and drew the picture, right?
Yes.
Why is Fester so skinny?
I don't know, because I guess that's just the way he looks when I see him when I'm watching NJTV.
Oh, okay.
Well, you only see him from the neck up.
Hey, Celine, your letter was delightful. Your little drawing of the crew is fantastic. So you're in fifth grade. What school do you go to?
I go to InPrep.
In crap?
That's Innovation Prep.
Oh, in prep.
Oh my gosh.
I thought you said you're in crap. I'm like, what? What kind of crap are you in?
Oh my God. What an awful name for a school.
In prep?
In prep. That's a great name for a school.
That's okay.
Yeah. That's a great name.
Celine, thanks so much for listening to the show.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
All right, we're going to send you some fun stuff back.
Yeah, we're going to send you some swagger. So we'll figure out. We're going to send you a package to your address, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Celine, thanks for listening.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Look, what a delightful young lady.
A fifth grader.
Yeah, and fifth grade.
I legit thought she said she went to InCrap.
That's what I thought she said.
I'm sorry, Celine. You're a sweet kid, but wow.
And Celine, this is for you. All right, early morons in the news. Let's go. Four arrests. What is this? Four people arrested after terrorizing an elderly woman with clown masks during a home burglary. This is like some, some robbery movie. What movies pop into your head where they wear, goofy masks? I'm thinking...
Scream.
Scream.
No, robbery movies.
More recently, Money Heist.
Oh, Point Break, of course.
Point Break, where they're wearing the presidents,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that was the one I was thinking of. So Point Break, they wear masks, and they're like character masks. What is the what are the Batman movies? Didn't they wear masks in one of the Batman movies?
Yeah, Joker's guys.
In the Dark Knight.
Yeah, remember where they backed up the truck to the bank? There's a shootout scene in the bank.
And then in that other movie, they were nuns. Remember the weird nun mask?
Yeah, there you go. So what was that? The town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
The town. And this is terrible. So it's bad enough you have a home invasion burglary, and then you're wearing clown masks?
Was it a couple of years ago when the whole clown thing was happening, where there was clowns trying to scare people?
Oh,
kids would dress up as a clown with a knife?
No, that's right. There was a whole thing. When was that? How long ago was that? You're
before
right.
We were back on the air.
It was. You're right. You know, I might have been in New York when that happened, because I remember I talked about that.
There's a rash of clown scaring.
Scary clown people, and they'd show up in people's backyards just holding in. That's right. Hey, Fester, go to Google.
Or they'll walk out in front of your car and just stand in front of your car.
Fester, go to Google and type in scary clown sightings. Oof. I'm sure that, and when was it? Was it 2016, 2017?
Yeah, probably.
That's right. Oh, look at this. There's a Wikipedia entry for this.
Oh, my gosh.
The 2016 clown sightings is a Wikipedia entry.
It was a big deal.
All right, let me read this. Hold on. The 2016 clown sightings were reports of people disguised as evil clowns in incongruous settings such as near forests and schools. The incidents were reported in the United States, Canada, and subsequently in other countries and territory starting during August 2016. The sightings were first reported in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in what turned out to be a marketing stunt for a horror film.
Oh, really?
The phenomenon later spread to many other cities in the United States. By mid-October 2016, clown sightings and attacks had been reported in nearly all U.S. states. 9 out of 13 provinces and territories in Canada.
Oh, my gosh.
And 18 other countries.
That's a real issue.
Yeah. Prior to the spate of incidents in 2016, numerous sightings of people dressed as clowns in odd or incongruous settings have occurred throughout the world since 2013. The proliferation of videos and images of these precursor sightings spread through social media posts and viral sharing of the conduct.
Oh, there's tons of like YouTube videos of my. People filming them being like, what's going on?
Roxanne, what were you saying in the middle of my sentence? Yeah,
she just steamrolled you.
Yeah, because you two times you said incongruous. I don't know what I say incongruous.
And she ran over you like a snow cat.
It would be incongruous.
Well, I think that sounds really elitist and weird.
Oh, jeez. Fessa, can you go ahead and copy that. Copy the word. Go to m-w.com. Jesus. All right.
I think you're right now that I looked at
it. I mean, so you're correcting me with the wrong information and blurting into the middle of a sentence. All right, Fessa, go type that in. Go ahead and paste it. Now go.
That was awesome.
Bring up the m-w talking dictionary.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Incongruous.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to continue to say incongruous.
All right, so you're correcting me and you're
incongruous.
So the word is pronounced
incongruous.
Exactly how I said it.
She wanted to correct you. She couldn't even wait for you to stop speaking.
God,
this show is very incongruous right now.
All right, so let me go back to the original story.
Definition A, not harmonious.
This is out of Orange County. Yeah. This is out of, in the Orlando area. Four people arrested after breaking into an elderly woman's home and wearing clown masks early last month. The group broke into a woman's East Orange County home wearing masks armed with a sledgehammer. Ooh. So you got evil, spooky clown masks.
Ugh.
And they had a sledgehammer.
Yeah, a lot of them will hold weapons.
Fortunately, they did not harm her physically. They robbed her of thousands of dollars worth of valuables. Authorities said 23-year-old Melissa Martinez, who was involved in the crime, knew the victim because she had recently worked as a caregiver for the victim's late husband. That's awful. So you work as a caregiver for the elderly woman's late husband who's passed, and you knew that she was going to be an easy target, so you terrorize her with clown masks and the three other people, and you bust in, you're threatening her with a sledgehammer. I'm going to hold the picture from the story I'm reading. I'm going to hold this up to MJTV. Look at this. Here are the four mugshots of the individuals, and then look at the clown masks. Hey, do you have a good shot of this on screen right now?
Those are some pretty detailed masks.
My God. These are like evil, spooky, nasty clown masks.
Can you get those at, what is the store that takes over the other store? The Halloween store?
I'm sure you can get them at Spirit.
Like the pop-up Halloween place.
Such a fascinating business plan.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Fester, what did you just bring up?
Sour Patch Kids.
And unbelievably, this is in my pile of stuff to do today. I've got a story that has to do with Sour Patch Kids. I'm reading this piece about a six-year-old girl who puked all over a passenger's shoes on a Delta flight.
Mm.
And it has to do with Sour Patch Kids. No, it's actually a very heartwarming vomit story. So, can you imagine? Okay. You know, mom is on an airplane with her six-year-old daughter, and the kid suddenly goes all over these nice, new, shiny wingtip shoes of a passenger in their row.
Wingtip shoes? Where's he going?
Listen to the story. The insider had this thing. This mother says she didn't notice that her six-year-old daughter had managed to open up a large bag of Sour Patch Kids on their Delta flight. Turns out the daughter ate like the entire bag. Mom, I don't know. How are you the mother of a six-year-old kid and you don't know your daughter plows through a big bag of Sour Patch Kids?
You might want to keep an eye on that.
45 minutes. This sounds like Roxanne. I'm sure your kids are eating all kinds of stuff.
They do, but it's not like I don't see them doing it.
I'm kidding. All right. So 45 minutes into a five-hour flight. It gets bumpy. So the plane starts to pitch a little bit, shakes a little bit. They get a little bit of turbulence. And the six-year-old's name is Dahlia, D-A-H-L-I-A. Mom says the kid's face turned the color of a stormy sea, and that's when it happened. In slow motion. Too fast for her to get the barf bag out of the seat pocket in front of her.
That's awful.
Dahlia pitched forward and heaved a sludge of Sour Patch candy bits and sticky liquid onto our neighbor's pristine brown leather wingtip shoes on the Delta flight. Oh, my God, she said. She said she wasn't sure what to do first. The plane was still lurching around. The man, while the plane is still shaking, the guy wrestled open his seatbelt, staggered off to the bathroom, and she's trying to like tend to her daughter who's puking up all over the place. The guy's shoes were like a direct hit. And then she's on her hands and knees mopping up bits of vomit and Sour Patch pieces in the aisle on the floor. So mom's trying to pop this thing, clean this mess up here.
Wow.
And the guy comes back, and his wingtips were buffed to perfection. The wingtips came back looking brand new. Mom's still cleaning up bits and pieces of puke on the floor of the Delta flight, and mom thought the guy was going to be pissed.
What, was he grateful because his shoes never looked better?
Mom thought that you've heard of a spit shine. This was a puke shine. All right. So mom thought the guy was going to be pissed. Instead, the guy was smiling as nice as can be. And there were tears in his eyes. The man that just had his new wingtips vomited on was tearing up. Anyway, he explained that his daughter was Dahlia's age when she became sick. And she passed away from complications from cancer when she was 7.
All right.
Okay. The guy was just a nice guy. And right. Just...
I quit. Here we are making vomit Sour Patch Kid jokes, and you kind of cold cock me to this. You roundhouse kick me to the head with a dead kid.
Telling a real story here.
Sour Patch Kid.
I should leave pieces of the story out.
You're laughing.
You should tell the important pieces at the beginning so we have the right tone for it.
You're saying how great his shoes look.
This is
wingtip shoes.
I think you're going down the avenue of how vomit is the secret shoe buffer.
No, this is how the story developed in real life. I'm telling the story.
I don't need every real life story.
Let's start with the guy's perspective. The guy's traveling. He lost a seven-year-old child.
When the punchline is, I lost my kid to cancer.
Listen, the guy was nice. Other individuals might scream and yell and be pissed beyond description.
Yeah, but he's been through the ultimate tragedy in life, so he has a better perspective
about what not to get too
upset about.
Did I upset you guys?
I think you upset the world.
How did I upset? I'm telling a real story.
You took us on a roller coaster ride, and the roller coaster spit us out into.
You played vomit sound effects.
Fester, you brought up Sour. You started the whole thing.
Did I?
You brought up Sour Patch Kids.
We didn't know.
I'm telling the story. Shoot the messenger. I'm telling the story as it developed that the reason why the guy didn't flip out is he was sympathetic. Are you crying, Fester?
Oh, no, I'm not crying. Okay,
you just rubbed your eye.
I've never seen him cry.
I'm not going to cry.
Are you guys angry at me for telling the story?
Yeah, when you take us and the audience on an up and down sort of story, like a roller coaster. You want to just kind of get butterflies in your tummy, and you want to, the ups and downs, you want to enjoy them. And you basically took us up and then you took us down and spit us into a trash dumpster of sadness and tragedy.
What? You know what? As convoluted as that was, she's right.
All right, wait a minute. Let's go to phones on this.
No.
You don't think, just what, you want me to move on?
I don't want to go to the dead 7-year-old's phones.
Come on, guys. Listen, why are you, now you're making a mockery of it, Fester.
I make a mockery of everything.
I'm just telling the story. The reason why the guy was so,
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
That's why the guy was so understanding of the 6-year-old puking up the Sour Patch Kids all over his shoes.
I would imagine he would be.
My prayer is that when I fly cross country with my kids, I'm sitting next to this guy, so when my son Hudson chunders all over him, he'll be like, oh, good boy.
But the story is the mom thought the guy was going to flip out and yell and be pissed off. And it was the exact opposite, and there was a reason why. I'm sorry if I told a human story, human interest story.
You know, there is a lesson here. Don't let your child pig out on a bag of Sour Patch. Kind of don't leave a 6-year-old unattended with candy. But now there's an even bigger, sadder twist that kind of gets overshadowed.
Are you guys angry at me? I'm telling a real story here.
Look. You're editor of the show. I get it, but...
Are you guys really pissed at me for telling the story?
I'm not.
No way.
It's just kind of a downer.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it. All right. He came back happy. Oh.
All right, so am I supposed to do Fleetwood Mac's Christine McVie dead now at 79?
Well, it depends how you're going to do it.
Was Sour Patch Kids involved?
You know, let me do a buffer. Let me do a little buffer story in between.
Fine.
Hold on, phones are ringing here. Hang on. Let me grab Constantine in Tampa. Constantine, hi. You're on the MJ Morning Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, can I help you, Constantine? This is the MJ Morning Show customer service department.
I just want to say that the story that you were telling was absolutely disgusting.
What was disgusting? Just the...
like, throwing up and everything.
All right, well...
Are you missing the dead kid part? I mean,
Fester, why are you being so flippant about that? Why? Well, you're making it worse, Fester.
I am pointing out facts.
All right, thanks for the... Thanks, Christy. Constantine, Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'll pick up my phone.
All right. Okay. We got time.
Can we do all this before we get on the air, Marilyn? Thank you.
Hello?
Sorry, I tried.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes, Marilyn.
It would have been a great story until you brought up the fact that the guy's kid died.
Yeah.
But he told the mother that he was not angry. He told the mother that he was not angry and was sympathetic and understood.
Oh, God.
All right.
And then you bring tears to people's eyes because you said the guy had tears in his eyes. I'm like... way to start someone's day.
I'm the bad guy here.
I thought the puking Sour Patch Kid was a rough enough start to people's mornings,
exactly. Especially when he was telling the way the mother had to clean it up.
All right, thanks for the call. So what? I'm telling a nice, heartwarming story here, and I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, kind of.
You buried the lead.
Right, hang on, Connie's in Tampa. Hi, Connie. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
All right, MJ, I got your back because, that's awesome. That's a heartfelt story. As a mom of two boys who have had seizures, I have gone through where my son has all of a sudden had a seizure and people freak out on me.
All right, so you're not disturbed by my story. You thought it was a heartfelt.
No, I thought it was heartfelt, and I thought it was awesome.
All right, well, thank you.
Nice to hear that.
Yes.
Thank you for coming to my defense. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys have a good one.
Yeah. You too. Bye. Connie, thank you so much for phoning.
All right. Thanks, you're welcome. Connie.
I Fester, don't give her an attitude. All right, I'm going to move on now, okay?
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure I'm going to move on.
All right, I got a story about kids with tuberculosis.
Stop it.
All right.
You guys made it worse.
No.
It was a nice story. I can't delete facts from the story.
You could delete the whole story. I bring up Sour Patch Kids in the line at Blockbuster Video. You're like, ooh, I got a story about Sour Patch Kids. No.
It's going to really make you sad.
You had a story about a kid with cancer.
No, I had a story. No, the story was not about that. The story was about the 6-year-old throwing up on the fellow passenger's feet with the Sour Patch Kids.
But he was cool with it because he had a kid who passed.
From now on, I'll leave very important, pertinent details out of all stories to appease you lugs.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
11 drinks.
You ready for the list?
All 11?
It has, you know, varying messages.
Okay.
So, folks, if you go to bars or restaurants with bars, and allegedly these are 11 drinks, according to Tasting Table, these are 11 drinks that are red flags for bartenders. I don't know if I'm going to get to all 11, but we'll try. What happens if you order the angel shot? What happens if you say, yeah, bartender, I'll take the angel shot?
Is that code for you want to purchase angel dust?
I don't know.
I've never even heard of an angel shot.
Is that a real drink?
It is not that you want to borrow angel dust. Any bartenders listening?
Is this a code drink?
Hang on.
Oh.
Any bartenders listening? What happens if somebody comes in? If a woman orders an angel shot.
I just Googled it.
Well, let's see if a bartender calls in.
I won't say anything.
If you're a bartender, what happens when a woman orders an angel shot from you? See if we can scare up a couple of bartenders. Are we too early for bartenders to call in?
Maybe if somebody's leaving their shift at the casino or something, but I can't think of any bars that are open right now.
So you're talking about code words.
No, I'm talking about people that work in bars at night, and they might be listening, but sometimes people that work in bars go to bed really late, and they're not listening to Morning Drive radio. Maybe they'll catch us later on. Any bartenders listening, what happens when somebody orders the angel shot? What does that mean to you? I'd like to know, has anyone ever done this as well? And I'll give you the list here in just a second. Hang on. We'll finish up with the next 10 after we find out about the angel shot. All right, every line is ringing. 800-990-1047. Let me grab line one. Chris. Hey, Chris, welcome to the MJ Morning Show.
Hey, MJ.
Are you a bartender, Chris?
Well, I used to be a bartender in the TV industry now. I've called before. But, yeah, I used to be a bartender. I've heard of the Angel's Shot, but it's kind of like an internet myth thing. That's not really, unless you work at a really seedy bar, that's not really a thing. I've seen the sign for it, though, once in Colorado, but pretty much it.
All right, now, what is the angel shot? What do you know it to be?
Like, if someone is, like, creeping on you, or if you feel really uncomfortable in the situation, you say, you want to order the angel shot, and the bartender then will, I got you. And then they'll call you a cab, or they'll call security, or whatever, and get you out of the situation.
Angel shot's an alert. Chris, thanks for the call. Let me grab Ryan. Ryan's in Bradenton. Hey, Ryan.
Good morning. How you doing?
Angel shot. Has anybody ever ordered an angel shot from you?
Not from me, but at the bar I bartend at, it has happened a couple times.
Gotcha. And how do you describe an angel shot?
Usually we will walk the party out to their car, out to their cab, or whatever. They need, like, assistance from us. They're a little scared of whoever they're talking to, hanging out with, and they want our help.
There you go. So,
interesting.
Ryan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Lisa in Largo. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, good morning. I was going to say the same thing as Ryan. I'm not a bartender, but I have heard of the angel shot. If you're in a situation where you're with a guy or somebody that you feel scared of, you can order the angel shot, and the bartender will escort you to your car and make sure that you're safe.
Yep. So the angel shot is a fictional drink that is actually a code invented to send out a signal for help to a bartender, a server, or any staff member. Generally, a woman who orders the beverage is asking the employee to intervene on their behalf because the date that they are on has gone south quickly, or someone's creeping on them, someone's bugging them, they're in fear for their safety. And, you know, my question would be, how many restaurants and bars in training, how many restaurants, how many managers make sure that the whole staff knows what the angel shot means if somebody orders it? Lisa, thanks for the call. All right, one more on this. Jessica's in Clearwater. Jessica, you're a bartender?
Yes, I am.
Have you ever had someone order the angel shot?
I have not, but they have ordered it from the bar that I worked at.
And do you know what the circumstances were on why they felt they needed to alert you guys?
They were on a date, and they felt very uncomfortable with the person that they were with. The date kept trying to force them to drink more and more.
Wow. And the place where you work, is it pretty much known that, do they train you, that they do they go over this, that if anyone orders the angel shot, it means that your customer might be in trouble?
Yes, they actually have it posted up in the female in the women's bathroom.
Really? What does it say?
Mm-hmm. That if you feel uncomfortable due to a date or with somebody within the bar, go to the bar and order an angel shot, and we'll help you.
Wow! So it's posted in the bath.
Well, that makes sense.
Wow! That's really
cool. Yeah.
That's proactive, is what it is. And where do you work? What type of bar is it in Clearwater?
It is.
You want to mention the name of the bar?
I don't.
Okay. No problem. But I think that's very proactive, and clearly they're concerned about your safety. If in the ladies' room there's a note saying, hey, order the angel shot if you feel unsafe. Hey, thank you, Jessica. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, so that's the angel shot. Now, folks, if you're just tuning in, we're going over 11 drinks that are red flags for bartenders. Now, they're not all like these fictitious drinks to alert that there's a problem. So that's angel shot. Another red flag for bartenders, the Long Island iced tea.
Oh, God, those are scary.
Yeah, because, man, they can get you drunk off your butt.
Why? Like, just because they're so strong?
Yeah, if you're going to order one of those, you're there to get slammed.
Right, so that means if someone's on a mission just to get blasted.
Oh. Yeah, the Long Island iced tea, four words may conjure up a hot day at your favorite pool bar. Then there's a whole story like who really invented the Long Island iced tea. There's all kinds of like stories and all kinds of folklore of where it came from. But the Long Island iced tea features clear liquors like vodka, rum, gin, tequila, triple sec, or some places will use Cointreau, you know, like a higher quality triple sec. Cointreau is really good.
I love Cointreau.
Cointreau is probably one of the most underutilized
liquor.
It's like it's like a liqueur.
It's good in sangria.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't know how good Cointreau actually is.
You can sip it too. Yeah.
But the warning sign is it's one of the strongest drinks to order at a bar. So that's a red flag if someone's ordering a Long Island iced tea, or let's say they're ordering Long Island iced teas for their date. Oh, yeah, she'll have another. Just, you know, the percentage of alcohol by volume is among the strongest you can get with the amount of alcohol in a Long Island iced tea.
So sweet.
So just the alcohol content will be a red flag. All right, number three on the list, flaming drinks.
I don't know that I've ever ordered a flaming drink.
Like a flaming Dr. Pepper. Is that one of the flaming drinks?
I don't know. A flaming, what the hell is
that? Did I just make that up, or was that a thing?
I've never heard of a flaming Dr. Pepper.
I mean, it might be a thing. I just don't know about it.
Yeah, flaming cocktails. Today, it's somewhat of a red flag. However, insurance companies point out that white hot glass can create a perma-grin scar like Batman.
Who would do this?
Well, because
like the Joker.
But the shot rim or the glass rim, if you have a flaming shot, it could make the glass so hot that it then you put it up to your face and then you could get like a burn scar from the hot glass rim and you end up looking like Joker face.
Oh my goodness. I gotta see some pictures.
Not my poker, my poker face, my Joker face.
Why so serious?
So what the hell's a flaming Dr. Pepper? Yeah. Is that like a millennial drink or something?
No, it's actually old school. I remember it from my days in bars vaguely.
Have you ever had a flaming Dr. Pepper?
I think I did. That's what I'm saying. By the time I had it, didn't remember.
But you don't have a Joker grin, luckily.
No, thank goodness. But it's a pint glass half full of beer, amaretto, a 151 proof rum, and then you light it on fire.
Speaking of drinking, we'll continue with the list. During the last commercial break, I did post the video of Chloe making fun of me. We were out to dinner on Saturday night, and I was enjoying a phenomenal Rhone varietal in Hermitage. And nice, reasonably priced, but it was so good. And after about an hour, it opened up phenomenally. And I'm enjoying, I'm just like savoring, and I'm trying to aerate in my mouth. And Chloe took video of me, and Chloe's making fun of me. So if you want to see that.
Oh, I didn't notice that part. There's something else distracting me in the video.
What was that?
Fester, bring it up.
I'm pulling it up.
See if you agree.
What's distracting you?
Well, it's a very low-cut dress Michelle has on.
Oh, really? Oh, you're staring at my wife's boobs?
Oh, well, no, right there.
Not her boobs, her décolletage. She has a very beautiful décolletage.
What did you say she has?
Roxanne. I meant her boobs.
All right. If you want to see the video of Michelle in her low-cut outfit and Chloe making fun of me, as I said, I finished mine, and then Chloe had like half a glass left, but Chloe ordered, what the hell happened? My little girl went from drink boxes to, she went from juice boxes to freaking Cosmopolitans. Like, what happened?
Oh, yeah. She drank Cosmos?
And what? Now she drinks the Cosmos, and then she goes and sweats them out in the Sweatology.
What happened? So I took her half a glass of this wine because it was so good, and I'm sorry. I was gonna save her. I even said I'm commandeering this. So if you want to see that video. Oh, and
don't
if you
do that in the restaurant.
If
that
you
is
wanna
outrageous.
You want to see a picture of 21-year-old Chloe sipping on a Cosmo? What happened to this cute little girl? My God, she's like a grown woman now. There's a really adorable picture.
Oh, my God.
I love Michelle's dress. Wow.
Did I tell you?
There's a really adorable picture of Chloe. And that and the new video with Michelle's low cut and me sipping the wine. These are on my Instagram. You can see all of this at Certified MJ Radio. Certified MJ Radio, and feel free to give me a follow while you're there. Certified MJ Radio. All right, moving along.
Chloe's giving me whiplash with this poor camera handling.
You got to listen to the audio as she's moving the camera all around. All right, so flaming shots we did. The next red flag for bartenders when you order a top shelf Bloody Mary. You know what the problem is with a top shelf Bloody Mary?
It's supposed to be a drink for the low end stuff.
Yeah.
It's so,
is that what it is?
Yeah,
it's so munged up with all the mixes and why do you need to waste a top shelf like vodka in a Bloody Mary?
So what does that indicate to the bartender? That you're a novice? That you're an idiot?
What is the problem with that?
You're a schmuck.
Because you don't need to.
But what if you like it? That's the question.
Because you really can't taste the expensive, higher-priced vodka in a Bloody Mary.
But what if it prevents you from, say, a hangover or something? I don't want Sailor Jerry's in mine. I want some top-shelf stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I agree.
Listen, I'm telling you what the professional bartenders are saying.
God, it sounds like these bartenders are a little judgy. A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, so far, they're pretty on point.
Well, they're going to judge you if you went top shelf in your Bloody Mary?
Because the Bloody Mary is what? Mostly tomato juice.
I wouldn't order one of those anyway. It's just the point.
Good point.
Thank you.
I'm just telling you that top shelf vodkas like Grey Goose, Kettle One, bartenders are saying should not end up in a Bloody Mary. That you should not order.
I can see that because you're not going to taste it, but I would never drink vodka that's not top shelf because I don't want a headache.
Whoa.
So heads up, that's a red flag. I'm not going to go through detail on all these, but ranked number one on liquor.com's most complicated cocktails list is the Commonwealth. Have you ever heard of this drink?
No.
The Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth has 71 ingredients.
Oh, God.
Yeah, then that's a high maintenance person ordering that.
Total red flag beverage, a 71 ingredient drink. The drink was created for the 2014 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, and apparently it is very rare to find a bar that will actually be able to make you a Commonwealth, the most complex cocktail ever. Yeah, tell you what, folks, next time you're out at a bar, ask for a Commonwealth.
I got a question. Is the red snapper on there?
Hang on a minute. Impossible mocktails are on the list. Coronarina?
Oh, that's a margarita with a Corona.
Yeah, this red flag cocktail should come with an asterisk that reads, if you're partying in a Miami nightclub or on spring break in Cancun, you might get a pass. Having said that, mention Miami nightclubs or Cancun spring breaks to any bartender, and they'll envision more flags than a used car lot on President's Day. Why? The visual probably contains an intoxicating combination of time and place. Anyway, the Coronarita beer cocktails, that just sounds disgusting to me. Vodka and Red Bull is on the list.
That's a normal drink. That's great.
Yeah. That's like they're... But you're trying to do, like, I call it a speedball.
You got the uppers and the downers. It's up and down. You got the Red Bull that's trying to jack you up. And then you got the alcohol that's a depressant.
You're looking for trouble. You're looking to be out of your mind but stay up all night.
Exactly.
Line me up three of those.
Key lime pie martini with graham cracker rim is a red flag.
Sick.
A bartender might try to argue that this morphing of a classic drink points to an inexperienced drinker. Number 11, finally, orange juice and vodka.
A kamikaze.
Ordering this, orange juice with vodka, ping pongs red flags off bar stools every time because it's wrong on two levels. The first reason is that pouring vodka into a glass and adding orange juice has a name. It's called a screwdriver.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. What's a kamikaze?
No, it's not. Did you say kamikaze? No.
Screwdriver, no, that's right.
Vodka and orange juice is a screwdriver.
What's a kamikaze?
Every bartender knows how to make it. But regardless of its origin, like the Bloody Mary, the screwdriver is a staple for Sunday brunches because most cocktails are built by adding the alcohol component first. The other reason that ordering orange juice with vodka sends up red flags is that the order of ingredients is backward. So apparently, just order a screwdriver.
So no red snapper?
Yeah.
And
one last thing on the whole drink issue. And, I mean, this is just stupid. When I was talking about using top shelf liquors in some drinks, like the Bloody Mary.
Right.
You don't need to order the most expensive vodka in the house to go into Bloody Mary mix, for crying out loud. It's a waste. I was at a restaurant in Vail. And I'll tell you what, you got a lot of people that have more money than brains. I was at a bar. We were waiting for our table. We were at a bar at an Italian restaurant in Vail. This is probably 5-6 years ago. And having a conversation with the bartender. And I saw the beautiful bottle on display of Louis the 13th, the cognac. You ever seen that? It's... You know, sometimes a shot could be like a couple of $100, $250, whatever it is. A shot. This is Louis the 13th cognac, and it comes in this unbelievably elaborate, beautiful crystal bottle. Just the bottles will sell for, Fester, go to eBay.
Okay.
Go to eBay right now, and I bet you there are some Louis the 13th cognac, beautiful crystal bottles on eBay. Professor, how long does it take?
Type in the web address. It comes up. It loads.
All right. Type in Louis, L-O-U-I-S.
Hurry.
Louis. Space.
Space.
Now do X-I-I.
X-I-I.
Bottle.
You said
no, 13. No, you did ones, you dummy.
Hold on. You said...
I said X-I-I, not X-1-1.
All right. So it's three I's because you want 13.
Three I's. Yes. Bottle. X-I-I. I. Louis the 13th. So
I.
Now the bottle. Louis the 13th bottles. No, you did Louis the 12th.
I did Louis 1, 2, 3.
Is there three on there? Okay.
1, 2, 3.
All right. So
How much do you think they cost?
I've seen for hundreds of dollars.
Right, so empty here's a guy selling an empty bottle with the box for $225.
Yeah, there are some for $175, $107.50, $225. I thought the bottles went for more than that. But the point is, I didn't get to the story yet. The bartender told me, I said, I don't know how we got into it, but we got into the story about dumb customers. And okay. I can't remember what precipitated the conversation, but he told me that he had a recent customer that ordered Louis the 13th cognac at a couple of $100 a shot mixed with Diet Coke. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
What if they like it?
Who? Come on. Who would mix that type of expensive cognac
with a little DC?
With Diet Coke. That is the dumbest thing. That's called having more money than brains. That is an idiotic, stupid, stupid move.
Wow. How are you judging people?
What do you mean judging? I'm not judging. It's just you're a dummy.
I agree. He sucks.
Yeah.
If you do that. All right, and then I think we're done. I think I'm finished with the list of the 11 red flags. And probably the most significant red flag to know is the angel shot. So, ladies, what about guys? Can guys what if you're in a bar with Jeffrey Dahmer? Can you what if you, I mean, because Jeffrey Dahmer was picking up guys in the gay bar. What if you order the angel shot and you're afraid of your Jeffrey Dahmer-like date or something?
Angel shot might mean something different there.
Yeah. How about that? And don't confuse the angel shot with angel's envy. Oh, you know what? What if you say to somebody, hey, give me a shot of angel's envy? I wonder if that ever gets confused, because angel's envy is good stuff.
Yeah, you just order some whiskey and the cops come.
I'll tell you what, I like the Angel's Envy finished rye with the green label. Mmm, that's good stuff.
The number one reason to wake up. The MJ Morning Show.
Now, you guessed this. Moving along. This is the item that I teased in the promos that ran yesterday after the show. And Roxanne, I was recording my little teaser. Hey, Andrew, do you have the teaser that I recorded yesterday? Do you have it handy? So I was recording this. Listen, here we go. Listen to this. This is from yesterday's teaser. Do you have it, Andrew?
This was considered trashy. They went out of style. Now they're back and they're no longer trashy? Huh?
So I was recording that yesterday. These were trashy. Then they went out of style. Now they're back. And now the word is they're not trashy anymore. And Roxanne, while I'm recording this, you guys were already gone. Froggy, you were out of the studio. Fester, you were gone. And Roxanne, you were still sitting here cleaning up your makeup mess and all the stuff you have scattered all over the town.
True.
All over the counter in here. And the minute I recorded this to run, you're like, I know what it is. I know what it is. And I'm like, okay, what? And then you blurt out.
You want me to blurt out
what I blurted out?
Yeah. I figured it out.
Yeah.
That wasn't a blurt.
Tramp stamp.
That's a blurt.
Is this true?
Tramp stamp.
Tramp stamps have come back?
Yeah.
The tramp stamp, obviously, is the derogatory term for a tattoo that a woman gets across the lower portion of her back, just above the buttocks, lower portion of the back. When you get a tattoo there, and a lot of times it kind of spans the whole width, that has been derogatorily called the tramp stamp. And apparently they went out of favor for a bit. Now they're coming back. And now they're not trashy anymore, according to the influencers that are, I guess, championing the return of the tramp stamp.
Okay.
I mean,
so who's gotten a tramp stamp in the last, I don't know, 4 years?
You know,
5 years.
We ought to go to phones on this. We ought to go to maybe speak with women that had this done years ago, or women that have had recent tattoos put on the back of their lower back.
We need to be more respectful. We can't call it a bleep stamp. Maybe how about a sciatic stamp?
Yeah, lower back tattoo or whatever. But the so-called tramp stamps are back in fashion, and they're no longer trampy anymore. All right, let's go to phones on this. Can you confirm or deny? Can you offer some insight or information here? Fessy, you are distracting the living crap out of me.
I'm going through a picture gallery.
Where did you get this? Right, so, what is this from?
If you just type in the word tramp stamp and hit images.
On Google?
Oh, I'm on Bing right now.
Why are you on Bing every day?
Oh, my God, look at that.
It's the it's the server that they have us using.
That one's funny.
One's more...
The one right next to
Fester. One's more hysterical.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
This woman has... Is that... That can't be real.
I mean, who knows?
That cannot be real.
But
there's a woman that has, in huge letters, written all across her back...
I don't even want to say it.
Diarrhea.
Oh, Tattoo artist. Are you sure?
Are you kidding me? All right, let's go to phones on this. Do you agree or disagree? Story that I saw, tramp stamps are in again and no longer trashy.
Like, who's decided that?
I don't know. Influencers. These idiot what the hell is an influencer anyway?
They influence people to buy stuff.
I hate the term influencer.
Yeah, until you're offered an influencing deal.
Yeah. All right, let's go to phones.
Shoe lifts.
Listen, you might have something to add to this. Did you get a so-called tramp stamp years ago? Do you still have it? Did you have it removed? Or are you a new tramp stamp or lower back tattoo recipient? Do you know somebody that's gotten it recently?
I mean, how recent is recently, MJ? If they're saying this is making a comeback, that means like Atomic Tattoo has a line out the door.
It sucks for the girls that got them removed. Now they're like, damn it.
Let me read this. This was a story in the Post. If you thought the resurgence of Y2K fashion was going to be limited to thinner eyebrows and lower jeans, then think again. Some trends may be a little more permanent, while a lower back tattoo or a tramp stamp, as they are colloquially called, has been synonymous with a somewhat trashier lifestyle. Gen Zs love the early 1990s, and it's seeing a comeback. Lower back tattoos became popular in Western culture in the late 90s and early 2000s by young female celebrities, including Britney Spears, Aaliyah, Nicole Richie, Lindsay Lohan. A 2011 study found that the body artwork referred to as a tramp stamp became unfairly associated with promiscuity.
Yeah.
So that's some of the history, but now the lower back tattoo, the tramp stamp, is making a resurgence because Generation Z is into it.
So I Googled acronyms for tramp stamp, and I found HOTAG and slag tag. But now those probably don't apply if it's classy.
All right, let's go to phones. Do you have the lower back tattoo? Did you get it back in the 90s or early 2000s? Do you regret it? And what about the new ones? Have you gotten one of these lower back tattoos they call the tramp stamp? Have you gotten this recently, or do you know somebody? We'll say hi and good morning to Sherry in Riverview. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are well, Sherry. So what would you like to add regarding the lower back tattoo?
Well, I'm a new lower back tattoo. I got mine 2 years ago. I have my nickname on my lower back. I gave myself that nickname like 7 years ago. And
so wait a minute. You gave yourself a nickname? Yeah, usually that works. Usually others. That's like George and Seinfeld. I want to be T-Bone. I want to be T-Bone. No, you're Coco the gorilla. All right, so Coco the monkey or whatever it was. All right. So, Sherry, first of all, how old are you?
I am 49.
So 2 years ago at 47, you decided to get a lower back tattoo.
I did, and I love it. I get so much attention from it.
Now, what nickname did you give yourself back 2 years ago, or 7 years ago, and then decided to get it? What's your nickname?
Heavy Duty Cutie.
Wait, that's the name of a boat.
Heavy Duty Cutie. So you have you have Heavy Duty Cutie tattooed on your lower back?
I do. Duty is spelled D-U-T-I-E, and then cutie is spelled C-U-T-I-E. Heavy Duty Cutie with a big old booty. Yep, that's me.
Hold on. Does it say big old booty as well?
No, that's the big old booty. You didn't have to say it.
No, that symbolizes me. HDC is better than HDTV. That's what I say.
Wait, is it duty, D-O-O-D-I-E?
No, D-U-T-I-E.
She's
that's not nearly as funny.
The alliteration between duty and cutie.
And cutie. So she wanted duty to look like cutie.
With
so
a booty.
How many people are looking at that thing?
All right, but Sherry, the only words on your tattoo on your lower back is heavy duty cutie, right?
But, you know, when I symbolize it, like, people are like, what does that mean? I'm like, heavy duty cutie with a big old booty. And then I say HDC, because that's the initial stand for, is better than HDTV.
I got it. Now, what type of font, what type of lettering did you choose for your heavy duty cutie?
It's actually kind of in cursive a little bit. My artist who did it at the time kind of just, you know, freestyled it and it's cute. I love it. Wow. I love it. I get so much attention from it.
Well,
I'm a heavier woman, so I get a lot of attention.
Good for you.
All right, now, who gets to see this? Because I would imagine it's covered up most of the time, right?
Yes, I am very involved in the BBW community, and I attend plus-size events at certain locations, whether Fort Lauderdale, Atlanta, they have them everywhere.
And, of course, the BBW community, that means big, beautiful woman, right?
Yes.
Are you talking about the clothing optional events with the BBWs?
No, it's not. It's kind of, the events that I go to, they're mainly held at, you know, during the summertime, and, you know, we have pool parties and dances. It's pretty much
fun.
Plus-size community, wherever to be able to embrace your, you know, skin, love the skin that you're in.
Yep.
No judge zone. Curvy Ventures is out there. Atlanta Stars.
Curvy Ventures, Atlanta Stars?
Yeah, Curvy Ventures is the main one that I usually go to. It's held out in Fort Lauderdale.
Fester, you should be a Fester should be a charter member with Curvy Ventures.
You guys ever think about a radio endorsement?
Yeah.
Yes, because I mean BHM also stands for Big Handsome Man.
So. Oh, look at that BHM!
You love that.
Hey, Sherry, thanks for the call and all the insight, you heavy duty cutie, and you call us anytime, you heavy duty cutie.
I love you guys. I listen to you guys every single morning. I've been a long time listener for a long time when you were MJ and BJ. I love you guys.
Wow.
We love you too, Heavy.
Look at that. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate the call. All right. Scott is in Largo. That opened up a line, by the way. If you want to get in, comment on the whole tramp stamp deal. They're back. So the story is that the tramp stamp or the lower back tattoos, they were big in the late 90s, early 2000s. They went away. And now it's apparently Gen Zers are bringing it back, but the last caller, 47, when she got it. Let's grab, if you want to get in, 800-990-1047. So do you have one from years ago? Did you have it removed? Did you just recently get one? Do you know someone who's gotten one? 800-990-1047 is how you get in. 800-990-1047. Yes.
It seems like you hear less about the tattoo removal businesses. I mean, it was a while. Those things were,
you know,
were hot.
You're right. You heard about tattoo removal places, and you don't hear those as much anymore. Let me grab Kathy and Holiday. Hello, Kathy. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
Hi. Good morning. I have to say, I listen to you every morning on my way to work. I drive from Holiday to Clearwater, and I'm usually laughing and spitting out my coffee most of the way.
What kind of coffee you drink? It sounds horrible.
It's terrible. It's that burnt Starbucks stuff.
Oh, I hate Starbucks.
All right. So, Kathy, what do you have to say about the whole lower back tattoo resurgence?
Well, I don't have a lower back tattoo myself. I have tattoos, but not on the back. But I've heard people say in the past that a tattoo of your of a bird on your back can, if I got to get this right, will end, as you get older, will end up looking like a buzzard in your crack.
Hold on.
That's funny.
A tattoo of a bird on your back as you get older will look like a buzzard in your crack.
Yeah.
That sounds like a true statement.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
where's to live by?
I've heard it several times.
And Kathy, what kind of tattoos do you have and where?
Well, I have a tattoo of a cat on my leg. I have a butterfly on my breast. And on my forearm, I have a tattoo of a butterfly with the pink breast cancer.
So that's nice. So I wonder, is there a saying for the butterfly in your breast? Like, if you have a butterfly in your breast as you get older, it'll be dangling like the rest?
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Or drooping? I don't know.
I don't think so. I've had breast cancer, so
gotcha. And so you're a breast cancer survivor.
Yes, sir.
That is excellent. Thank you, Good Kathy. You. Have
Thank
a great
you.
One.
Okay. All right. Love you guys. Have a happy holiday.
You too. Thank Love you, too. Scott.
I almost just blurted out my favorite tattoo joke, but I think you would have dumped me for it. So I'm glad I didn't.
What is it?
I mean, Roxy.
I told you, Spencer, didn't I?
You did not.
What is the joke?
So. I don't think
I'll,
I don't
I'll get my I'll get my finger on the button. What is the joke?
It's so fun. Okay, you tell people. You tell them like really deadpan, like, oh, guess what? I got a tattoo. It's so cute. It's like this little cute little mouse. And then they say, oh, where is it? And then you say, oh, I got it on my inner thigh. And then you start to pull up your dress or your skirt or whatever. And then you like look at it and go, oh, it's gone. Oh, something must have eaten it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we told that joke on the radio.
Who are you?
Oh my God. Thank you, Roxanne. All right.
Do you want to tell the aristocrats next?
Right, Scott is.
A family walks into Italy.
Scott's in Largo. Hey, Scott, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys are great.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, I was just wondering. I have tattoos and a lot of Hawaiian stuff because I used to live in Hawaii. But if a woman gets a tattoo on her lower back, and it's called a tramp stamp. If a guy gets one on his lower back, do they call it a...
That's disrespectful.
Yeah. You know,
Thanks for calling, Scott.
I went and dumped that. I left Scott up. Scott, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm
familiar. Yeah, I went and dumped it. I don't know. I don't want to offend people with that.
That's a long way to go for a bad joke, Scott.
Well, it's offensive.
Scott, I love you, Scott. Even though I dumped you, Scott, hopefully you still think we're great. Have a great day, okay, buddy?
All right, you too.
Thanks, man. All right. Should I stay off the guys? Because I've got to know. Let me grab Wanda in Newport Richey. Wanda, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Wanda.
Hi, guys. How's your morning going?
We are going just well, just fine. All right, go ahead. What's the story with you?
When my daughter was 21, she went ahead and she got a tattoo on her lower back, and it's her name in Chinese. Okay.
Is she sure it's actually her name in Chinese? Because there have been stories where people got tattoos and it was in Chinese, and it turned out... Like, some guy wanted to get some tough guy tattoo, and it turned out that whenever, like, Chinese people would see him, they'd walk by, see the tattoo, they'd start laughing at him. And it was, I can't remember what the story was, but it was not what he thought it was in Chinese, and the Chinese characters actually said something really derogatory.
Not that I know of.
And how old was your daughter when she got her lower back tattoo?
21.
Oh, that's right. You did say 21. And how long ago was that? That's what I meant to say.
She's going to be 40 in March.
Oh, wow. So that's a long time ago. And does she still like her tattoo?
Well, she hasn't said that she doesn't like it.
You know, because I would ask the question, would you do it all over again? All right, Wanda, thanks for the call. Let's grab Liz in Tampa. Hey, Liz, you're on the MJ Morning Show.
Hi, MJ.
Hey, good morning. All right, so do you have a lower back tattoo?
I did. I got it in the early 2000s.
There you go. So the popularity was late 90s, early 2000s. Then it went out of favor. It disappeared. And Liz, do you still have it or did you have it removed?
I wish I could have it removed. No, I still have it, and I have gotten several since then. But I do not like the tramp stamp because for placement alone, you can't see it. You got to look in the mirror.
And what does yours say? Is it verbiage? Is it a word or a phrase? Or is it a symbol or artwork?
It says Jimmy and Liz forever.
Hold on. It says Jimmy and Liz forever. Now, wait a sec. I got to ask, are you still with Jimmy?
20 years strong.
All right. Look at that.
Round of applause.
Well, it's not exactly forever.
Jimmy loves Liz. Yeah. Jimmy likes Liz. Jimmy really likes Liz.
Right, Jimmy, sometimes, like, I don't know.
Yeah, thank you, Liz. Great story. All right, let me finish up with these calls. Let's grab Michael in Clearwater. Michael, MJ Morning Show, you're on. Hello.
Hi, MJ, how are you?
We are well. Go ahead.
So, a public service announcement. Ladies, if you're going to get a tramp stamp, basically, when we're doing an epidural, we can't go through the tattooed ink on your back.
Oh, wow. Ooh, so wow. Wait a minute. Wow. Are you an OBGYN or an anesthesiologist?
Anesthesiologist.
There we go.
Good to know. That's
very challenging for us.
Tell us why. So why can't you put the epidural through the tattoo?
Because sometimes the ink can get into the epidural space, and that can cause an infection.
Ooh.
Mm.
So here's the thing. You know, most people, the spinal cord ends at L2,
yep,
which is the lumbar bones in your back.
Yep.
You have five of them.
Yep.
So we always have a mnemonic that says to keep the cord alive, get between L3 and L5. So if you have a tattoo right there, I have to go a little bit higher. And once you get a little higher, you're actually in a danger zone.
Oh my gosh, I never heard this.
No, this is really good information. And you know, now that you're saying this, Michael, I'm pretty sure that I'd heard this years ago and it's coming back. That
it is.
Wow. And how often do you go in to do an epidural, or are patients pre-screened, or is it a surprise when you get back there to do the epidural? It's like,
always a surprise because we don't really get to see, obviously if we have residents or students, they get to interview the patients before. But once you get back there, you're just like, oh, no. So.
And Michael, if you don't mind, how long have you been a practicing anesthesiologist?
Since 2009.
All right. So the tramp stamp craze had kind of cooled off a bit. Are you noticing, and that's why we're doing the story, is the tramp stamp lower back tattoo craze for women. It was late 90s, early 2000s, then it cooled off, and now the story is, and why we're talking about this, it's coming back heavy. Are you noticing a return with younger patients, younger mothers, that now have tramp stamps again?
Yes, absolutely. It's more actually in the middle-aged group, women that, got it back in the early 90s or early 2000s, excuse me. And, how women now are waiting because their careers are to have children. And it's
who
more common now because of, obviously they're getting pregnant older now. So once they come for their epidural, yeah, we see the tramp stamp a lot. And it's, again, very challenging for the anesthesiologist, very challenging for everyone because we are not supposed to go through.
Yep.
But you have this woman screaming in pain. You can't really tell her no.
Well, you know what we should do for every new tramp stamp that they get? They just leave the middle like a little epidural spot.
So you know
spot.
What? I tell you what.
Right.
Hey, Michael, Dr. Mike over here, you ought to come up with like a template. So tattoo parlors will have a template so they can put it on, and you have the area on the lumbar where you need to do the epidural between the L. What's the sweet spot?
L3 and L5 keep the cord alive.
Yeah, L3, L5. Maybe you come up with a template that you just put it on, and then you got to do the tramp stamp in that box and not in the zone. Great call, Michael.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much, guys. I listen to you every morning. Thank you.
We appreciate it, Doc.
You know, I'm kind of in the middle of a midlife crisis, and I've been just open to everything. I'm like, do I want a tattoo? Do I want a tramp stamp? Do I want to have another baby? Now to know that I have to pick one or the other, this is helpful. I can't
That's
do both.
That's crazy that I've never heard that. I wouldn't even think that the ink would affect it like that.
Well, sure, you put it in your body, and then the needle pushes it in a little further.
Oh, gosh.
Matt is in Wesley Chapel. Hey, Matt, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I had a friend of mine. We work at a local EMS agency, and he was kind of one of our wilder paramedics, and he got a tramp stamp of a very nice grayscale photograph of Anne Frank holding her finger up to her lips, as in saying, shh.
Oh,
and had some writing down at the bottom, and it said, no snitching.
Wow.
That's
no snitching, meaning don't tell anyone that Anne Frank and the family were hiding in that place in Amsterdam, right? Netherlands,
that's,
right?
We all
get the Anne Frank reference.
Wow. That's all right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Deep,
all right. Last, that is deep.
Yeah. Multiple ways.
Historically deep. All right. Travis in North Carolina. Last call on this. Travis, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
We're well. Go ahead, Trav.
All right. So I guess two things. First, thanks for that weather information. I'm actually driving home from North Carolina right now, and I'll be going through hopefully that area soon. But on the tramp stamp thing, I actually had a question. When is it no longer considered a tramp stamp?
So basically, if you have a full canvas on your back, does it, if it goes so far low, is that considered a tramp stamp?
No.
Or if you have a tramp stamp?
That's a decent question. Not a great question, just a decent question. But a tramp stamp is an isolated, in the last couple of inches of the lower back, not a whole back art.
And I guess, we could probably come up with like some kind of butt reference if the tramp stamp ends up where your butt is at some point.
I mean, left to right. I've seen tramp stamps go from side to side, but no more than, you know, 4 or 6 inches up.
And Travis, what's the second question? I thought you said you. All right, there you go. All right, Travis. All right, thank you, Travis. Have a great one and drive safely if you're about to hit the nasty weather. So there you go. And you heard what the anesthesiologist said, and he's doing epidurals for women that are giving birth and says that, yeah, there's a resurgence of these tattoos and even in you know, women that are older who are having babies later.
I have to say, I think we might be the only morning show in the country.
Yes.
That does not have one tattoo amongst its show members.
That is true.
You don't know me very well, do you?
Show it. Show it right now.
I can't.
I don't care where it is.
You don't have a tattoo.
I can't tell you.
I've seen and memorized every inch of your body.
Ask me where it is.
Seriously. No, answer the question honestly.
You don't have a tattoo.
Do you have a tattoo?
Yes.
You really have a tattoo?
Yes.
So Fester's wrong with his assertion that we're the only morning show in the country that has all staffers that have no tattoos.
I will strip you naked to prove my point.
All right. It's a patriotic tattoo. I want you to guess where it is. I'm going to give you a hint. Sometimes it says United States of America.
Stop.
I've been telling that Wendy, welcome to Jamaica, have a nice day joke for years.
Okay, so what is the joke? Sometimes it says United States of America, and
sometimes it just says USA.
All right.
My joke better.
Where is it?
I frog you not. You don't have a tattoo, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
And Fessy, you have no tattoo.
I have no tattoo.
And you get a lot of real estate, man.
I could have like a treasure map.
You could be like a billboard on I-4. All right. And then Roxanne, you've got.
I had a mouse, but the pussy ate it.
What? You got to let it.
Oh my God.
A cat.
You had to hear the earlier joke. out of context.
A cat.
Jesus.
Roxanne,
tomorrow's last show of the year, right?
Tomorrow's the last show of the year.
It couldn't happen at a better time.
Oh, my God.
It's the MJ Morning Show.
Roxanne, you just said something during the break that you had one of those nights last night where you have the dreams that make it feel like you're awake all night and didn't get any sleep.
I hate those. And they seem to happen to me always on Sunday night.
Really?
Yes, the whole night. I feel like I'm awake and I think I'm just thinking really weird thoughts. And then I'm like, no, Roxanne, you slept a little bit at least because you wouldn't have just thought that. That was a dream.
I get those every once in a while. And believe it or not, this is crazy. I had that last night as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a little strange. I don't get them often, but I'm sure folks can relate. I wonder if anyone listening knows like what this is. Has anyone ever researched this? It's the nights where you fall asleep and your dreams all night, you feel like you're awake the whole night and it doesn't feel like you're really sleeping. And you had it last night. I get it maybe once every couple of months, and I got it last night as well.
What's the matter with you guys?
I don't know.
Huh. It's like sleep paralysis, maybe?
No, but it's got to be a phenomenon. It's not quite lucid dreaming, because lucid dreaming to me is enjoyable. That's where you can like make decisions about what you want to do. If all of a sudden you're dreaming, you're like, oh, I'm lucid dreaming. I can fly right now. And then you can fly. It's totally different than that. It's like, it's exhausting thoughts that you think you're in control of, but you're
exactly.
not.
Exactly. It's like you feel almost like you're exhausted.
Yes.
Now, I have dreams like that. One of my dreams are like that.
But I don't know if I wake up in the morning feeling tired. Like right now, I feel fine, except my voice.
You look tired, man.
No, I don't.
You look a little tired.
I mean, literally, my voice was great for the bulk of the whole show, and then just like 10, 15 minutes ago, my voice goes, bap, for some reason. You know, maybe some of our listeners have, like, researched this or know what the hell we're talking about.
Why don't you call it that dream lady? What's her name?
Oh, Thundra?
Lightningdra?
Thundra. Yeah, Thundra.
Fester's.
Maybe we'll get Thundra, Fester's favorite. No, sir, maybe,
you just want to do that to annoy Fester. No,
maybe we ought to go to phones here. Maybe we ought to ask our listeners that Roxanne, believe it or not, coincidentally, Roxanne brings this up. And I'm like, you know what? I had that same deal last night. So let's just take a detour here for a second before we get back on track. Now, any of our listeners, do you get this? And do you have an explanation? Are there any, I don't know, medical professionals? Are there any dream experts? Anybody? Do you get this phenomenon where you go to sleep and your dreams all night make it feel like you're not sleeping? It's almost like subconsciously you feel like you're awake the whole freaking night and that you're not really having relaxing sleep.
Oh, God. Yeah. Kicking your legs? Are you restless leg syndrome?
No, it's not that. It's just you feel like you're not sleeping. It feels like you're awake.
Yeah, I think everybody on Earth has that
but
feeling
it's,
sometimes.
But it's a conscious feeling, and I only get it. I only get this like once every couple of months. And unbelievably, last night was mine. And then Roxanne, just I wasn't even going to bring this up. Because it's really not an issue, because when I wake up, I feel like I've had a good night's sleep.
Just get on with life.
Yeah, exactly. But does it affect you, though? Do you feel like you're not rested?
Well, I'm very sensitive to that. I always try to get 9 to 10 hours of sleep in a 24-hour cycle.
10 hours of sleep? That's outrageous. I don't get 10 hours in half a week.
What are you, an infant?
I need deepy.
So I'm very sensitive to anything that disrupts me. Right,
let's go to the phones here. Let me grab calls here. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. God, I'm trying to let me gargle.
Actually, quite a few texters are hitting us up that it happened to them last night too.
Really? Well, listen.
Oh, my God, what's going on?
Listen, it obviously happens to people, so it's not shocking that listeners, it's not like every one of our listeners had this happen.
Yeah, if it happens 3 times a year, then 1% of our listeners had it happen last night.
Oh, that's fast math.
Does anybody have this happen to them on a regular basis? Like, how often do you have the nighttime dreams where it feels like you're not really sleeping? But it's almost like while you're sleeping, it's almost like you're conscious that you're not really, but you are sleeping.
Okay, like when you dream normally, you're not really directing the action.
You know, you can't gargle with the tea. Can I make you some? Yeah. I got salt in the little kitchenette here.
Yeah, go get some salt.
Can I get you some warm water and salt? You can you mix do. It. Just
go get a cup of bay water.
Go ahead. What were we going to say?
When you have a normal dream, you're just sitting back and enjoying and kind of watching the show. But then when you have these types of dreams, it's exhausting because you almost have to create the lines for people. You almost have to, it's like your thoughts, you're directing all the action.
Look at the phones. Yeah. Every line is jammed here. I think the gargling worked just a little bit.
Roxanne's dreams are like 4-hour movies because she needs 10 hours of sleep a night.
I told you about... I always have a reoccurring dream about that I work at a vest store and
what?
Nothing.
I've never heard that.
You work at a vest store, a store that sells nothing but vests.
But the customers are nothing but snakes. And I'm like, wait a minute. Weird. I'm telling you, it's weird. Shut up. So they keep coming in, they're like, we need a vest. And I'm like, you don't have arms. It's a real. What are you? It's true, Fester. I've told you about my vest.
Dude, I've never heard of this. I've worked with you for years.
Of course, snakes would need vests because they don't have. You're right. That makes
sense.
I think that's what's weird about the dream.
How often do you have this dream?
I've had it like 70 times.
You should be working at a tube top store.
Sometimes the snakes attack me.
You work. Is the vest store in the mall?
Yeah, it's like a mall store. It's like in a strip mall.
Like next to like the Kincaid Paint Gallery.
Yeah, and I'm like, I need more customers than snakes.
What is the Kincaid Paint Gallery?
You never saw like in the mall, like that guy who paints light?
It's very obscure.
Dude, that's not a paint. You mean an art store, the Kincaid Art Gallery. You don't call it a paint store.
Well, they sell
what are you talking?
They sell
You're talking
them
about an art gallery.
They sell them there.
Yes, but that's an art gallery. It's not a paint store.
Keep yelling at him. You're clearing up.
Yeah.
No, it's Thomas Kincaid.
Your voice sounds better now.
Keep yelling at Fester. All right. Hey, go back to the.
Hold on. Now I'm looking up Thomas Kincaid.
Go back
art.
To the phone screen. Eileen is on holiday. Hi, Eileen. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
Hi.
All right, Eileen. Eileen, you want to talk about the dream deal or what?
Actually, yes. I have an overactive mind, so at nighttime, I have to take magnesium to stop the brain from functioning on a normal level.
Wait a minute, you take magnesium to stop your brain from functioning on a normal level?
Well, at nighttime.
Magnesium's supposed to de-stress you. It's supposed to relax you.
I know, but the way she said it was really creepy. Like, I want my brain to stop functioning.
I just have Doug hit me in the head really hard.
Michelle shoots me up with lidocaine in the neck.
What was Michael Jackson's thing? What was that?
Propofol.
Yeah. It's like that's what Eileen sounds like right now. I just drink propofol every night.
Eileen, go ahead. We're sorry. Go ahead.
No, I love it. I came from Jersey. I love this show. I'm like, I listen to it every morning on the way to work. I'm like, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the accolades.
Talking about us?
Yeah, talking about us.
Listen to our show?
Hold on. So you take magnesium to fix your broken brain, and then what about the dreams?
My dreams, oh my God, they were so bad the other night. I had it the night before you guys. And you don't sleep, really. You're not in your subconscious. You're actually in your conscious mind. That's why the magnesium helps you to put your conscious side of your brain to sleep.
All right, now, where did you get this medical information? Did you find this online? Did a doctor tell you this? How do you decide you're going to take magnesium?
It is from my doctors. I'm actually a survivor of shaken baby, so I do have a little bit of brain damage.
Hold on a minute.
That caught me off guard.
Your mother, who shook you?
My mother.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry, man.
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, you know what? I got my head straight. Mm. I'm not disturbed anymore, and I'm enjoying life. I'm back to work.
And what's the deal with your mother? Is she alive?
Yeah, that's why I moved to Florida.
My God, we ought to put... I tell you what, do you talk to your mother, or is there's no relationship there?
No. I actually sent you an email with the book. A few months ago.
Oh, my God.
I sent you a copy of it.
Oh, that's right.
I've never met somebody who's suffered from that.
Wow.
No, as an adult.
So, at what age did your mother shake you and give you shaken baby syndrome?
About a week old.
A week old. Now, how did you... was she arrested? How did you find out about it? Who told you?
Oh, I didn't find out until 10 years ago. I was having back surgery, and I asked my doctor because I saw a program on PBS about shaken baby syndrome. And from there, I just focused on myself to get myself
well. Yeah, but how did you confirm that your mother shook you as a baby?
Well, the signs were in my spine and in where my memory... I should have had photographic memory.
But did you ever, wait a minute, did you ever confront your mother and ask her, did you shake me?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And did she admit to shaking you?
She goes, well, you got a mistake in your book. It's about my kitchen. I didn't use insurance money. Nothing about that she didn't want me or that she shook me. Nothing. So... she confirmed, everything was confirmed between doctors. That's why there's 200 pages of references in my book.
Wow, that's right, unbelievable. Hey, thanks for calling. Drop me another email, Eileen. That's crazy. Thanks for listening. Hey, let me grab Erica. Erica is in Riverview. Erica, this wasn't planned, and a lot of things just spontaneously happened.
That's crazy.
Here on the MJ Morning Show, that Roxanne said that she had the crazy night last night where she was dreaming all night, but the dreams were those active dreams, and it doesn't feel like you're asleep. And I said, oh, my God, I had the same thing last night. I only get it once every couple of months. Do you know what we're talking about, Erica?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I was just telling my son this morning, Like, I got up at 1 o'clock, I got up at 4 o'clock, and then I basically, I don't think I went back to sleep. I had to wake up at about 6:30. I swear I didn't even sleep. I always tell this story about my husband. He's kind of a crazy sleeper. He wakes me up a lot. And, I mean, he did, as always, wake me up a couple times last night, but it was just so weird last night. Like, I barely slept.
All right, now, Les, I don't wake up. I when I have this situation, I sleep the night through. It just doesn't feel like you're sleeping the night through. And again, yeah. I had it last night, Rox, but you're getting up. Now, Roxanne, do you get up constantly like Erica?
I wake up a couple times while it's happening. And so when I wake up the final time in the morning, I'm like, oh, I didn't sleep a single second last night. All I've been doing is thinking about all this crazy stuff. And then I realized, no, Roxanne, you weren't thinking about crazy stuff. You were dreaming the crazy stuff. It just felt like you were thinking.
Wow. All right, Erica, thanks for the call. Again, the phones are loaded. If you're just tuning in, Roxanne mentioned this. I'm like, hey, holy crap, I had the same thing last night. I don't get it often. And how often do you get it, Roxanne?
About once every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Oh, that's high. Yeah, that's frequent. Again.
It's always on Sunday nights, too.
It's probably a stress thing.
It's always Sunday nights?
Yeah.
Because, so it's before you come in and hang out with us?
Yeah, because it's like you start to think about the week ahead and what has to happen. And so I think your brain goes into overdrive.
Again, it's when you go to sleep, you are really sleeping, but it feels like you're not asleep because your dreams are so realistic, or it just feels like you're awake and you're not really sleeping. Aaron is in Tampa. Hey, Aaron, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. So can you relate to this?
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. I am a bartender and I'm an artist. I work at an art studio and a bartend. And once or twice a week, I'll have a dream where I'm weeded and I can't keep up with customers. I can't hear them, all that kind of stuff. And I wake up exhausted. And then the other nightmare that I have is I'm working at the art studio and people are stealing artwork from the back of the studio. And I'm like, it's at least once a week. Like, it's not good. But yeah, you wake up feeling exhausted. Like, you sleep, but you don't feel rested, right?
See, with me though, I do not necessarily wake up exhausted. It's while I'm sleeping in my dreams, I feel like I'm exhausted. So it's happening while I'm sleeping, but when I wake up in the morning, I must have gotten the sleep. It was just this subconscious feeling that I was getting no sleep, but ultimately it doesn't really affect me.
Same, same.
Oh, okay. See, it affects me. Like, I mean, I get through the day, like, that's not a big deal, but I wake up and I'm just like, I don't feel like I got sleep. But apparently I did.
You're not like, jacking down like 12 5-hour energies, are you?
No.
You're not huffing back like 17 Red Bulls, are you?
Unfortunately.
I do not. Like, I don't, I maybe drink coffee like once in a while before I go running or something. That's it.
Aaron, thank you so much. Appreciate it. So we're getting these variations here. All right, just a couple more calls, then we got to move on here. And hey, this might be a good segue into the other side situation. Again, Roxanne, you've been bringing some kooky stuff to the table lately.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I know.
That is what you're here for.
Let me grab Pam is in Valrico. Hey, Pam, MJ Morning Show, welcome.
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Well, all right. What happens? Do you get the same deal where you dream and you feel like you've gotten no sleep at all and you're awake all night?
My opinion, and I've done lots of research on this because it happens to me all the time, all the time, is you don't reach that really deep REM sleep. Usually, I believe it's from stress, from things that you haven't completed during the day. I have a reoccurring dream that is nuts, where I'm always losing my car. Everywhere I go, I mean, and it is so traumatic.
You mean like you park your car and you don't know where it is?
Yes, and I go out like to the mall, the airport, anything like that. I will wake up and I wish my car was, I've gone actually to check to make sure my car is in my driveway, but I have built houses in my dream. I mean, I'm like physically in there. I will wake up so exhausted. I wake up probably 4 or 5 times a night.
Really?
Yeah, and it's horrible. And no, I'm tired in the morning. But I get through the day. I mean,
So it's like you're living that Seinfeld episode where they lost the car in the mall parking garage?
Yes.
almost every night.
Did you ever take a pee in the corner of the parking garage and get busted by the security guard?
No, that I haven't done yet.
Okay, I'm just checking.
But it is just—it's just so because I believe that I believe you don't reach REM. If you do not reach REM in your sleep, like that deep sleep, that conscious sleep, I think you're just sitting there on the surface. You're just like floating type of thing, and you are in your dream. And I have done some crazy. I wake up going, my God, what did that mean? I mean, because your dreams technically don't mean what you're dreaming. You know, if you look things up, different things mean different things. But I think it's the stress and strain of people's lives.
All right, have you ever seen the Ashton Kutcher movie, Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't have seen that. But
it's traumatized her.
But I'm talking so traumatic to me that I literally, I mean, I wake up just in a sweat. It's all the time, all the time.
I have something like that, too. I can never dial my phone the correct way when I'm dreaming. Like, I'm always trying to call someone.
Who are
and I'm
you
like,
calling in a dream?
A Vestor.
No, that's funny. That's weird. That goes back to something.
Hold on. Do you have, like, a phone with, like, little tiny little buttons?
I can't dial the number right, ever.
You need to get the gigantic old person phone, like the Jitterbug or something.
Yeah, get an old rotary phone.
Yeah.
No, but that's really interesting. That's something to look up. But, yeah, I mean, I've built houses. Me and Oprah hang out. I mean, I've had some crazy. I wake up the next morning, and I'm like, oh, my God, did I sleep at all? You just feel like I do anyway, completely drained. And very there's vivid. Not, I mean, I just keep waking up. And
same deal.
My mind's a little nutty, and it doesn't shut down. It's very, very hard for me. And I even take stuff to help me sleep. It doesn't even work. Nothing.
Pam, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. One more. And then we'll segue into, you know, I wasn't planning on our whole chunk there. I wasn't planning on taking these calls.
I would love to have dreams where I'm hanging out with Oprah.
Yeah, for real.
Right?
And I got to catch up on all the stuff that I was going to do. All right, one more call. Stacy, you have these dreams where you feel like you're not sleeping at all night and you're like wide awake, but you really are sleeping.
Yeah, it happened to me last night.
Oh, my God. It's
what happened?
Trifecta.
Was there something on TV last night?
What is going on in the universe last night? Is there anything like, I know Mercury and all of that, like, I don't...
Oh, don't get us started on that. Stacey, stop.
I looked up the moon phase right now, and it's like a waxing gibbous, is that right?
Gibbous. Yeah.
That's a Harry Potter wizard's name. Waxing gibbous. Come here with Ron Weasley.
All right, so listen, a lot of our listeners, this is a human phenomenon. I just don't know, like, what percentage of the population gets this. I mean, I'm sure there are people listening that never have this, or maybe it is ultra common, and most people get the nights of sleep where you're dreaming and it feels like you're not sleeping. And then you wonder, it's like you're conscious while you're sleeping that you're having these dreams and you feel like you're not really sleeping, but you are.
Yes, right. Okay.
And that's what happened to me last night. I felt like I was in an office with like this wooden desk, like on a second floor overlooking like this banister with like nothing in front of it. And I'm looking down inside a living room. And that's where I was, like, all night long. And then I was conscious the entire time.
All right, did you do any drugs last night?
No, I don't do any drugs of any kind.
Fantastic.
All I do is caffeine and work two jobs.
Right, well, I'm glad to hear that. Hey, Stacey, thanks for the call. All right, well, there we have it.
I do think, now that I'm putting more thought into it, the full moon is on Wednesday. So I think it does have to do with the full moon. We're leading up to it.
I got to catch up here. All right, we're running late now. But listen, that's the beauty of the MJ Morning Show, because you never know. I don't even know what's going to happen half the time here.
Got a hot tip?
Listen.
A huge complaint? Or just want to say hi? Email nj@mjmorningshow.com.
I'm going to do everything possible not to be that ugly American tourist when I travel to Europe.
You're such a little... You're basically turning into a Kardashian.
Dude, it's summertime. I generally take a couple of weeks in the summer. I took a week back in June, and I'm taking a week at the end of July. I'm not taking diddly squat in the month of August.
So what's your problem, dude?
Where are you diving now?
I'm not diving. We're going to France to meet the kids and pick them up. And
Done. She's almost done out there, huh?
Yeah, so Chloe will be at the end of this month in France for 2 months. She left in, late May, early June? So all of June and then all of July studying French at the Sorbonne in Paris, in Paris. Yeah, she's...
Looks like she was at a rave the other night.
No, she wasn't.
She put up an Instagram video and she was like...
She was in Ibiza. She just went...
She was like jamming.
Do that again, please.
She was like dancing with all her girlfriends. And I'm like, what? That doesn't look like study.
Hold on a minute. Are you serious?
Yeah, look at her Instagram.
Hold on a minute.
Maybe she hides those stories from you.
Wait a minute. You know what? I probably should check my kids' social media a little more.
Especially when they're in France on your dime.
Oh, are you going to collect money from them?
Wait, he's looking at Instagram right now.
Hold on. Give me a second.
Which one?
What are you talking about?
It was an Instagram story. It went away.
It was a story.
Yeah, it was a couple of days ago.
Because I do look at her.
They don't store stories anywhere in here?
No, I think the stories disappear. It's why they posted on there.
Oh, dude, she was raw. It looked like she was at Ibiza.
What is that? Like Instagram's version of Snapchat? What is that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Really?
Looked like she was having a good time. I'm just kidding. It wasn't a rave. It just looked like she was at a bar.
Why do you got to scare me? Why do you tell me? Why you got to make me think
she's... I just saw her pop a couple pills.
Will you stop it?
She had a glow stick in her mouth and a beret.
Stop it.
Looked like she's having fun with her friends.
Her eyes were very dilated.
Anyway, so... now you're jumping on the... Oh, you're going to tell me what? Like she was neck deep in foam?
I saw her... she had an LSD page the size of a loose leaf.
My daughter's an athlete. She doesn't do illegal drugs, all right? Cut the
crap. Absolutely not. Good for her, though.
She was in Amsterdam over the weekend, though.
Oh, maybe that explains the party.
Well, because her boyfriend, God, I don't want to think about it, but I guess she is going to be 21 next month in August.
Is that
August.
That really good-looking guy she posts with?
Yeah, that's her boyfriend.
Man, what a handsome guy.
What are you, attracted?
It must be so easy.
It's not that easy. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He's a very good looking man. And I'm amazed, having you as a father, that she's going for such tall guys.
He is very tall.
This is like 6'4".
You're going to have to look up to him when you meet him.
So he's from the Netherlands, right?
Oh, man.
Really? He's foreign?
That's like my third least favorite European country.
So she met him over there?
No.
Okay.
No. He goes to Chloe's university in New Hampshire.
Oh, that's cool.
He played one of the sports at university in New Hampshire. No.
In Belgium, we play a lot of chess.
In Bruges.
No. Polo. He plays polo.
He's on the bowling team, okay?
Do you know anything about the bowling? All right. Doesn't sound like Elon Musk.
So they met at UNH. That's where, he goes, she goes. And, of course, Chloe... over in France for 2 months this summer. He's back for the summer in Amsterdam. And
that works.
And that's the deal. So
Chloe, come to Amsterdam and meet me.
Well, what is that accent?
I want you to meet my family. Chloe, I love you so much.
Chloe, lie to your daddy and get him to pay for a trip for 2 months to France and we can the summer to ourselves.
Well, listen.
Yes, I want to be alone.
It's like a 3-hour train ride from Paris to Amsterdam. So last weekend, she, I guess, went to Amsterdam on a 3-hour train ride. Anyway, where the hell was I?
Why? I don't know.
I got to talk about the. I said.
You're not going to be a bad tourist.
I'm not going to be the ugly American tourist. So the deal is that. And then Froggy starts busting me on traveling again.
I don't mind.
I'm taking 2 weeks this summer.
Do you ever just chill out at home?
You know, a lot of times I've taken the summertime, I've taken 3 weeks. A lot of times I've taken 2 back-to-back weeks, and then I'll take a single week. This summer, I'm only taking 2 weeks. All right?
Good for you.
So we are going to collect the kids because Julian is doing a photography camp, really good course, in the Rhone Valley.
Now, he looks like he's studying.
Now, both of them are done at the same time, and that's why Michelle said, hey, why don't we just hop over to France, do a little family summer vacation right as we pick up the kids after they're done with their courses, and that's what we're doing. So we're heading over to pick up the kids, enjoy a little family time together. in Paris, then we're coming back.
I'm just jealous. I've never been to Europe.
You were in Ireland.
Oh, that's Europe?
Ireland is in Europe.
That's right, it is. Yeah, I was in Europe. Dude, so I'm with you, bro. I can relate.
You're a wreck.
I'm a traveler.
Hey, the good news is, you know that the dollar is on par. The dollar has parity with the euro now. Usually the euro was like 25, 30, 35% more, 50% really? More than the dollar. Right now it's one for one, the euro and the dollar.
Does that explain why I legit, besides MJ, have like 12 friends who are going to Europe this summer?
Maybe so.
Hey,
guys, we are flying over there, right? It's costing us $17 each way. All right.
You're going to buy a piece of property?
Our hotel is $8 a night.
Dude, that place right? is real cheap.
This whole vacation is costing us like $212. Yeah. All right.
Do they have continental breakfast
for
that price?
The whole damn thing.
Throw two zeros in the back of it and I'll believe you.
$8 a night.
What?
Wheat. That's eight in French. You got to get used to it.
That's right. You know five words in French. Yeah.
Wheat. I do.
They're going to bring you a stock of wheat.
Yeah. She knows five words and two of them can get her pregnant.
Yes, Andrew.
Yes, I have images in my head of you and the movie European Vacation.
Right. Oh, hey. God, with the beret. Oh,
did you hold on. Did you see that on my Instagram? So Chloe and Julian, they posted a picture at night with the Eiffel Tower in the back, kind of an upshot. They posted it, right? I took their photo and I put it on my Instagram at Certified Todd Schnitt. And then a good friend of mine, Mark, he then took the image of the Griswolds at the Eiffel Tower in European Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
He cut out the kids and put Chloe and Julian, my kids, right next to Clark and what was the wife's name in European Vacation?
You know, Beverly Sparky was up there.
Beverly D'Angelo is her real name, but what is her name?
Ellen.
Clark and Ellen. Clark and Ellen. And then my kids are right next to Clark and Ellen. Awesome. There it is.
Doesn't the beret fly off in the movie?
Yeah, but my friend didn't do as good a Photoshop job because you can still see some of the purple haze.
What, did you yell at him about that?
Not Jimi Hendrix, but there's a little bit. There's a little bit of purple behind them. Yeah,
Excuse me, friend that did this for free, but can you fix this? This is outrageous.
Anyway, hey, if you haven't seen this, listen, you should be following my Instagram because you have no idea what's going to pop up on there. Give me a follow. If you're on Instagram, give me a follow. Yeah, the encounter, the aftermath of my dog with the Bufo toad, that video's up there. Oh, I've got a Bufo toad update. Actually, two Bufo updates coming up. Anyway, I am not going to be the ugly American tourist. I'm trying to get to this story, but you've derailed me. So when we get over to Paris, I'm not going to be the ugly tourist. Did you see that a U.S. tourist, a 23-year-old, went on a forbidden path at Mount Vesuvius in Italy? And he dropped his cell phone into the crater. And then he went to retrieve it, and then he fell into the crater.
Oh, God, what an idiot.
That's
according to Newsweek, a U.S. tourist fell into Mount Vesuvius in Italy after taking a forbidden route to the summit. 23-year-old had been on a visit to the volcano with relatives. This happened on July 9th. When the incident occurred, this is according to a Roman news website, the man lost his balance, fell several feet into the crater after he and his family had taken a route to the summit, which is not permitted for tourists.
Oh, man.
Then emergency services rescued the guy. They treated him for slight injuries. It's not exactly what the injuries were, but he wasn't permanently damaged.
Did he get his phone back?
Yeah, right. That's the most important part of the whole story.
The man and his family were cited by police along with two other visitors as they took the prohibited route to the summit. The route was marked as being out of bounds and dangerous. And, of course, Mount Vesuvius is an active volcano.
When was the last time it blew? I mean, back in Pompeii?
Well, 79 AD, by the way. That's, dude, 79 AD, that's the famous eruption.
Yeah, there's still frozen people?
I'll take my chances walking a volcano on a forbidden path.
Yeah, the last eruption, I believe, was during World War II.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 1944 was the last eruption.
I think people go on vacation, think nothing bad can happen to them, and they can just do crazy stuff.
Yeah, but you realize that the volcanic soil of Vesuvius, the ash and the volcanics, that's what brings us the famous San Marzano tomato. which I make my pomodoro sauce with, certified DOP San Marzano tomatoes.
Yes.
Isn't that area of Italy also famous for limoncello?
No, that would be the Amalfi Coast. Oh. Yeah, I believe.
And orangello.
Isn't that part of Italy also famous for Chef Boyardee?
And I might be wrong about that. Why don't you look that up? Okay. Yes, Chef Boyardee is from Mount Vesuvius. Yeah. He fell into trying to retrieve his Victrola. Yeah, so come on, stop, dumb American tourists, stop giving us a bad name.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
I want to know if listeners agree with this. A mother is saying that smoking weed while watching her children is no different than a mommy drinking a glass of wine and watching her kids. I think this is a very interesting debate. This woman by the name of Caitlin Fledeger, she's 28 years old. She's an attractive blonde. She's got a couple of kids that I'm looking at the picture of the kids. And the kids, the story I saw, it didn't have the ages of her kids. But I'm looking at the pictures of the kids, and the kids look to be about maybe 6 and 8. Is my guess. And
oh, so they're pretty self-sufficient by now.
Well, listen, they're not, it's not an infant at 4 months old and a 2 year old, but the kids appear to be maybe 6 and 8 is my guess. And she is a recreational marijuana smoker. So Caitlin, the mommy at 28, is a recreational marijuana smoker. And she says that she smokes marijuana while her kids play. She smokes marijuana while, she's watching her kids, or maybe the kids are out in the yard. She's smoking a joint. And she's saying that
Do you smoke marijuana in your house? Do you smoke marijuana with a mouse?
Yeah.
MJ, you don't even know what
you're Do you smoke it on a train?
Do you smoke it on a plane?
Do you smoke it in the rain? Would you smoke it with a goat?
That would be awesome.
Would you smoke it on a moat? Awesome. What were we going to say, Fester?
No, MJ, I don't think you understand what you're going to unravel here. I bet
you... Are you telling me that I don't understand what I'm going to unravel here if I go to phones? Is that what you're saying?
I bet you the number of calls we get from mothers who blaze during the day to tolerate their toddler is going to exceed anything you're expecting.
Tolerate the toddler? Is that what you're saying?
That's what they're doing.
Token for toddler toleration.
Moms who are getting high during the day. I mean, I know we're kind of, you're bringing it up and you think it's a quirky story, but this is a thing. I mean, there are people who are high all day around their kids.
Well, Caitlin is saying, and she's got two kids, she's a mom of two, and she says, if you see a mother drinking wine while she watches her kids and it doesn't bother you, then why should me smoking a joint bother you? So she's suggesting, and listen, you've got marijuana that's legal, recreational marijuana that's legal in many parts of the country now. A lot of the laws, though, require that you smoke it in your own home, or you smoke it indoors.
You have a medical card for it.
Well, listen, you've got recreational marijuana states, and then you have medical marijuana states, and then you have, you know, states that obviously have both. But look at the phones already. Hey, Andrew, can you screen calls here?
Every line's going to be lit, like joints.
So every line's going to be lit like Caitlin's lit, apparently, while watching your kids. All right, so do you agree with Caitlin, the mother, that her smoking a joint is no different than mommy wine time, mommy watching the kids and sipping on a glass of Chardonnay or whatever? You know what? Let's go to phones on this as well. 800-990-1047. You agree with this? That mommy smoking a joint, she says, hey, you don't chastise a mom for watching the kids while sipping on a glass of wine, so don't judge me and don't chastise me for smoking a joint. She's saying it's the same thing. All right, 800-990-1047. So a couple of things at play here. You agree or disagree with Caitlin, the pot-smoking mommy, number one, or or are you a toker and a smoker and a midnight joker? Well, how does that go?
I'm a joker, I'm a toker, I'm a midnight toker.
There you go.
Yeah, midnight toker.
All right, let's go to phones on this. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Do you agree that this is no big deal and smoking a joint is the same thing as drinking a glass of wine and it's just a stigma?
Well, I try not to be in the business of judging other moms. So,
okay. Says the woman, Roxanne, who walks in here all the time complaining about what she sees other mothers do.
Oh, look, I'm sorry, Roxanne.
Fester's choking on neck fat over here.
Listen, okay. I'll tell you. The big tell on judgy moms is when they start a sentence with, I'm not one to judge other moms.
I'm not. You do you. But let me just tell you that would you not be do the case.
You. Hold on. Isn't that a slogan for a company? You do you? Where did I hear that? Anyway, go ahead.
So here's the thing. For me, that would not be the case. But that is only because I have built up such a high tolerance for wine.
Yeah, you're always drinking around your kids, which I think that speaks volumes. You're always with a bottle open when you're watching the kids, right?
You've heard me on the phone with my kids in the background.
Yeah. Hey, Roxanne's at the playground in West Chase with her kids. You'll see a wine glass and a whole bottle right next to her.
I'll just wear the thing around my neck. You know the wine glass holders that you wear around your neck?
In a paper bag.
Oh, okay, that's classy.
She's got a wine bottle. Are you angry at me?
No.
You just gave me a look.
No, it just reminded me of my life.
All right, let's go to phones on this. Where do you come down on Caitlin? Do you agree or disagree with Caitlin who says, don't judge me because I smoke pot while watching my kids? No different than a mommy drinking a glass of wine. Or listen, you've got those mommy play dates. The mommies, you know, bring all the kids together. They're playing in the house. They're playing in the yard. And the mommies are all sipping on wine. And she's saying, what the hell? What's the difference if all the mommies are smoking a joint while the kids are playing? All right. Where do you fall on this, folks? Fire up the phones, 800-990-1047. You agree or disagree with Caitlin? No difference between a joint and wine. 800-990-1047. I think we opened up a can of worms here because the phones are going nuts. Let me grab first call on this is GW.
I just want to say, Wildy Wilder, I think she's very responsible with her glass of wine because I have a couple at night. Very responsible. But I was on a bad call. I'm retired.
Hold on. Did you call her Wowie Wilder?
No, I call her Wildy. Wildy Wilder.
Wow.
I like her.
Got you. Yeah, a lot of folks don't know. Roxanne Wilder. Wilder's her last name. And that's her real last name. That's not like a fake radio name.
No, that's my real name. Yeah. My government name.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead, GW.
Okay. And everybody's different. And that's the problem. And this couple was, they're recreational, supposedly, because there was a lot of things going on with this couple afterwards to find out what happened. And she put her baby 3 years old in the tub, and they're partying they weren't drinking, they were just smoking weed, but they forgot her, and she slipped under, and unfortunately, they got there too late.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. So I think we missed what you said. I'm looking at my screen now. You're a retired EMS, right?
Yes.
All right, and then a couple, they were smoking weed, they put their baby in the tub unattended, and things didn't end well.
They did. That was unfortunate.
Oh, my God. Where did this happen? What city?
It doesn't mean somebody else can't smoke a joint and be responsible.
Yeah, but don't put your baby in the tub unattended. Right. How old was the baby?
Three.
Oh, geez. And then where did this happen?
Syracuse, New York.
Syracuse. Did the family get charged?
I can't remember everything that happened. I don't know.
All right, so what do you think about Caitlin's claim that you know, mommy watching the kids smoking a joint is no difference than sipping on wine. You agree or disagree?
I put it like this. If it was Willie Nelson, he could do it. It depends on the tolerance, like Wowie.
Wow. Willie Nelson. Would you take your kids to Willie Nelson Daycare Center? All right, let me go to Nancy in Bradenton. Nancy, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Your thoughts on a glass of wine versus a joint?
Oh, take the joint. We have a birthday party recently for my daughter. She just turned 6. And then you have a whole bunch of them little munchkins running around, and it hits you better than a glass of wine.
Whoa, Nancy, wait a minute. Are you saying you just had a birthday party for your 6-year-old daughter, and you got the parents were smoking weed at the birthday party?
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, man, this happens all over.
Everybody has their own vices, and you got to tolerate your kids one way or another.
Right, now, where did you hold? Were you like a Chuck E. Cheese smoking a joint, or your house?
The house, in the backyard.
And how many parents were there? How many kids?
At least 15 children.
And how many parents were smoking joints?
I'm going to say about half.
Half for smoking the doob. And if you don't mind me asking, Nancy, you got a 6-year-old kid. You're smoking weed in the backyard during the birthday party. Nancy, how old are you?
I'm 34.
All right. And the other parents there around the same age as well?
Yeah.
All right. Nancy, thank you for listening to the MJ Morning Show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you, too. Look at a new twist. Birthday party. Bong. Token. Smoke token. Birthday bong.
You got your tokens for Chuck E. Cheese, and you got your token for your adults.
There you go. Kathy's in Sarasota. Hey, Kathy, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
We are well. Your thoughts on Caitlin saying her smoking a joint while watching her kids is no different than mommy sipping on a glass of wine while watching the kids?
I think both are terrible. I mean, I don't mean to be judgmental at all. But I come from the era where mommy had her happy juice, and then there was Valiums. I mean, little kids know what they know what's going on, and you're developing these children to become, drug addicts and alcoholics, and thinking it's okay to use something, to tolerate you. I think it's just.
Let me point something out here, and I do believe that kids are a product of their environment, or a lot of what kids grow up to do and be is a product of their environment. And I think a good example is my mother and father were never smokers. My mother and father were never drinkers. And I never grew up wanting to drink. Even like in high school, I went to all of the parties. I was in the, in a great friend group, at high school. I went to the parties, but the red solo cup that I had at the parties didn't have beer or vodka in it. I always just had, like a Coke or a ginger ale in mine. I just never really had the propensity. However, I'll tell you what I noticed. The parents that my friends who had parents that drank all the time, and they'd come home from work and they'd have like the liquor cart set up in the living room. And the first thing they did when they walked in the door, they were drinking, nonstop for the rest of the night. Those friends that had those parents, those kids tended to be drinkers.
Right. So. I mean, like I said, I'm not judging. I'm not a prude or anything like that, but that's my same observation. I have a lot of friends who are products of alcoholics because of their parents' behavior when they were growing up. And I was part of that. I witnessed that as a child. I mean, children are not stupid.
Now, were your parents drinkers or smokers?
Now, my father was a big drinker and a big smoker, but my mother was not. She was neither. And I was at a period where I drank a lot, in my early 20s, and I did my share of partying and stuff like that because my dad looked like he was having a good time.
So you learned that from your dad?
Oh, absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
My dad was a big drinker as well. And he always reminded me that we all have free will.
And Roxanne,
we do what we want to do.
Roxanne comes to work at least 3 days a week, yeah, Smelling like alcohol.
I actually, just want to point out, I'm not.
You like that, Fester?
At least 3 days a week.
At least. I have to disclose, I am not really a daytime drinker. And we were all out to brunch the other day, and right. everybody got champagne glasses. Right. And all the women were drinking except me. And Daviana was like, Mama needs wine. Mama needs wine. Because wow. everybody else had drinks, and I didn't. So it was shocking for her to see that. So
2-year-olds calling you out. Somebody wine mom up.
Yes, somebody wine her up. Look at the phones on this. Let me grab John is in Bradenton. Hey, John, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi. Did I lose John? I did. Look at that. I think we just dropped his cell. Let me grab Darren is in Land O'Lakes. Darren, you're on the MJ Morning Show. John, try to call back. Hi, Darren.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. What's your thought here on Caitlin, the mommy, saying, hey, don't judge me if I smoke joints around my kids. It's no different than mommy drinking a glass of wine.
Would that mom be okay with the babysitter smoking a joint?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point question. About the joint.
I mean,
got the joint point going on.
Joint point. You got to be alert, and you got to be ready. What if you have to go to the hospital or doctor or something, and you got to jump in the car? I mean, they're high.
Yeah, you know, the babysitter needs to make a judgment call. The kid cuts its hand on a can opener or something, right?
Yeah.
I got to be. I don't want my babysitter, high. I don't want him drunk or high.
No,
listen, I think it's a very good point. Thanks a lot. That's why we take calls here. Let me grab Kurt is in Tampa. Hey, Kurt, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Nice hearing you back on the air, you know.
Hey, Kurt, thank you. Yep, the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105. Kurt, when did you find out we were back on 104.7 FM?
Oh, it's back when you first got on many months ago.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, Kurt, your thoughts on the pot-smoking mommy?
I got two of them. First of all, I think it's almost child abuse, but it's no different than smoking around your kids or drinking heavily around your kids. You're impaired, just like the last caller said. You got to be ready to take care of your children.
All right, but John, let me put it one for one. Mommy smoking one joint, you think smoking one joint is worse than mommy drinking one glass of wine, yes?
Yes, either one of them. I think joints are worse because, I've got personal problem with it, with the staunch smell of it that we have to put up with because they want to smoke. And then your children around the environment of smoke, just like cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
Just as bad as around your kids.
You're bringing up a point that a lot of our texters have, yeah. that it's the secondhand smoke factor that they think is the irresponsible part of smoking a joint around your child.
Absolutely. And then the last caller hit it on the head. Would you let your babysitter smoke a joint watching your kid? Come on.
Yeah, the answer is no. Kurt, thanks for the call. Great stuff. Drive safely. Let me grab Dawn in Tampa. Hey, Dawn, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I agree with your last caller. I work in case management, and, you know, parents who smoke pot not only become more impaired, but, again, if they're smoking around their children are going to also have the effect of marijuana, a lot more than if it was secondhand smoke. And if you have one mom and three kids, and, like, I went to a birthday party and the mom turned around and smoked pot, and then everybody had left because it was my sister-in-law. I found out about it.
you're ratting out your sister-in-law on 100,000 watt MJ Morning Show on Q105.
I know she doesn't listen, so. but she's too busy being wise. My nephew fell off the slide. Right. And he cut his lip open, and she couldn't drive to take him to the hospital.
Whoa. See, that's it. So the kid fell off the slide, busted his lip open, and then she was all high on pot, so she couldn't take the kid to the hospital. Well, I guess that's when you called 911.
You know, and that's the thing. I know people get somewhat impaired with a glass of wine, but not so severe that they can't turn around and take their child.
Yeah, but you still, depending on how much wine you had, you also don't want to drink and drive. Hold on a minute. 911, what's your emergency?
Yes, hi. I'm at a birthday party, and my kid fell off the slide, busted open the lip, and I'm six joints in. I can't drive.
All I'm saying is she's equating it from one joint to one glass of wine.
Right.
All right. You get more impaired off of that one joint than you do one glass of wine.
That's another good point. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I can't actually classify and qualify.
I mean, I would say it's a lot worse.
Okay. All right. And so you've smoked a joint, you've smoked a glass of wine, and you're saying that you're much more impaired on the first joint than you are on the first glass of wine.
She's probably never smoked a glass of wine.
No, I've never smoked
a glass of wine. Hold on, did I just say, what did I say?
You said smoke a joint, smoke a glass of wine.
I'm sorry. Well, listen, you know what I mean. So you've smoked a joint and you've drunk a glass of wine and you're saying that you're much worse off on the joint.
Sure.
No, I've never smoked a joint, okay?
Oh, wait, I thought you smoked a joint.
No, never.
Your sister's the pothead, right? Your
sister, yeah.
My sister-in-law is, yeah.
What's her first name?
I'm not going to tell you.
Where does she live?
What's her address? Dawn, thanks for the call. Yeah, Fester.
Yeah, MJ, you smoke a joint, you're high for 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
I wouldn't know that. I'm not a pot smoker. I've never smoked a joint. I don't know that stuff.
According to Froggy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Speaking of Froggy.
Yeah.
Has anybody heard from him since he said he can't join us today?
No, he was supposed to be on with us starting at 7:30 this morning, COVID from home. Folks, if you don't know, Fester is not in the studio. Fester is at home. Froggy was supposed to also join from home. Both Fester and Froggy are COVID positive because the Omicron cases are up all over the place. And I can attest to it because two guys on my morning show are not here because they have COVID. And Roxanne and myself, we're still testing.
People standing.
We're negative in this joint. Let me grab D-Flex. What up, D-Flex? I'm guessing D-Flex is a pot smoker. D-Flex, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
What's up, MJ? How you doing, man? You know I be smoking a bit of weed, man. You know, I take care of my kids sometimes. And you know what? I got my homies. I got homegirls. She'll be drinking them 32 ounces of beer.
Right, dude, you got to slow down. It sounds like you're on speed. All right, D-Flex. All right, slow down and start from the beginning. I need to cut your speed in half. All right?
All right.
I love this guy.
Right. I try to slow down. I get a little nervous on the radio, TV, wherever I may be at. You know, I'm in Tampa right now. But what I'm trying to say is, you smoking that weed like the last caller. She don't smoke weed. It's a bad time to try to start smoking weed when you're taking care of kids. You know what I mean? So if you have a joint for the first time and there's kids around, I suggest you go sit down or go hang out with the kids. You know what I mean?
Okay. Thank you. I love this guy.
Thank you. D-Flex, what was the last time you had a little, you have a little toke?
Hey, man, we're talking and talking, dog. You know what I mean? Talking and tolerating. You know what I'm saying?
Talking and tolerating.
All right, so are you toking and talking right now?
Well, I guess so. Why not?
Oh, my God.
D-Flex, thank you, buddy. Call again. Feel free to call the show anytime.
All right, D-Flex.
All right. Hey, Andrew, I see the phones are still ringing. Let me just grab the last ones that you've got screened, and then I got to move on. We got to talk about, hey, Fester, did you see the United Airlines ticket counter smackdown at Newark International?
Yes.
At Liberty in Newark? Did you see that?
This is getting out of control.
Oh, my God.
The violence toward airline employees.
We don't know the whole story because the video starts halfway through. All right. So hold on. If you haven't heard about what happened at Newark Liberty International Airport at the United ticket counter, turns out with an ex-NFL player. Holy schnit.
Yeah, Herschel Walker. Who knew?
No, it wasn't Herschel Walker.
Okay.
Let me grab three more calls here. Then I got to move on to the United story. Then we got the coat hanger deal going on. Megan is in Lakeland. Megan, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, Megan, what do you think? For those just tuning in, the reason why we're taking calls, I talked about a woman named Caitlin. She's 28. Caitlin Fledager. And Caitlin says, don't judge me. If I'm watching my kids and I'm smoking a joint, there's no difference in me watching my kids like tons of other mommies that are sipping on a glass of wine. So we're just asking callers, do you agree that sipping wine or smoking a joint, same thing in Caitlin's eyes? And what do you say, Megan?
Same thing. I couldn't agree more. I think it's worse to sit and drink around your kids. You get way more impaired drinking alcohol than you would smoking.
And people are also judgy about it.
Now, Megan, how old are you?
I'm 39.
39. Do you have kids?
I do.
Your kids are at what age at this point?
They range from 19 to 11.
All right, so youngest is 11. And do you party? Do you smoke pot?
Yeah, I do. So what I don't do, I wouldn't sit in front of my children and like be like, hey, what's up? But I'm going to step outside.
All right, how many kids do you have?
Four.
All right. So let's go through the ages. You have 11. And what's the next age?
14.
11, 14. Next.
16.
And then 19 is the oldest. So yeah. I think the obvious question, have you ever smoked a joint with your 19-year-old?
Yes.
What about the 16-year-old?
No.
What about the 11-year-old? No. That's a joke. That's a joke. You know, I kind of figured you probably had, shared a dub with the 19-year-old. Megan, thanks for the call. Thanks for your honesty. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Hey, have a great day. All right, two more calls, and then I'm going to move on. Wendy is in St. Petersburg. Wendy, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hey, Wendy.
Good morning.
Morning, Wendy.
I want to say I'm a lot older than the rest of the callers, but I don't see the difference between smoking a joint or drinking. And just to let you know, my sons are much older now. I didn't do either. I did do it all when I was a teenager, but I have two sons that don't drink or smoke pot.
So
I just think it's setting a bad example, right, doing it in front of the kids. But no, I don't see any difference in smoking a joint or drinking. I'm open-minded.
All right, Wendy, thanks. All right, last call on this. Appreciate your phone call. Thanks for listening, Wendy. All right, Ed is going to wrap it up. Ed is in Tampa. Ed, you got the final say on Caitlin saying, hey, me smoking a joint, no different than other mommies drinking a glass of wine while they're watching the kids. Ed, what do you say?
I say that I agree. But it's all moderation and how much you do. I wouldn't say to smoke in front of kids, but to me, one or two little hits is no different than having a glass of wine or one or two beers. For me, it's the same effect.
All right, so
for you, it's the same effect, but I think you have to take into consideration different people have different, right, body chemistry and react differently.
And Ed using the terminology, Ed using the language, taking some hits. So, Ed, when's the last time you took some hits, Ed?
Last night in the evening to relax. I prefer it versus drinking. It doesn't affect my equilibrium, and I could sleep all the way through, and I sleep like a baby.
And what's your dealer's name? What's his first name?
Who has a dealer? Hard. He doesn't have a
license. What is it?
The medical license.
Medical marijuana. Gotcha.
I thought I said Carl.
Ed, now with your medical license, do you really have an ailment that you need the marijuana for?
Yeah, PTSD.
All right. Yeah. And what if you don't mind me asking, what is your post-traumatic stress disorder from?
Just a lot of things that I saw in a kid as a kid from violence and fighting and things like that still kind of bother me.
All right, got you. And Ed, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
54.
Right there, right at the top end there. Hey, thank you, Ed. I appreciate it.
No problem. Have a great day. Love
you
too.
Hey, thank you, Ed, and thanks for your kind words about the show. Hey, listen, very enlightening. That was, for me, that was an enlightening segment. All the phone calls, and you know, most people, it seemed, thought that alcohol and a joint, that there was parity there. You know,
Pester, you called it.
Yeah, MJ, I knew that we would get a lot of calls. And passionate calls about this, because there's a lot of people doing it.
And I'm glad it kind of turned into, it wasn't just about a mom having a drink or smoking weed. It turned into parents, because should be both the men and the women held accountable for whatever they did.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Have you guys heard about the, like, the, I need to know if this is a thing. I read a story over the weekend, and this apparently is the hottest office water bottle that you cannot get your hands on because it's sold out everywhere.
It's not the big gallon size one, is it?
Have you heard of the Stanley Quencher?
Yes.
There's something called the
Stanley. How big is it?
Hold on.
It is the size of a Rubbermaid trash basket.
Wow, I'm thirsty.
Hey, Froggy, you just lifted your... Why are your pits all stained?
I'm hot.
What is going on?
What are you looking at my pits for?
Because you just raised your arm.
It's hot in here.
I was looking at you and you're all sweating over here.
It's hot.
Froggy is a wet armpit
guy. I'm a pit guy.
Here's the deal. You need to get yourself a Stanley Quencher.
My wife has four of these.
Are you serious?
Yes, she loves them.
Allison has the Stanley Quencher?
Call her.
These are $50 a piece.
Yeah, I know.
What's so special about them?
I don't know.
They're enormous.
But apparently they hold 40-something ounces and... They're like unavailable. There's a waiting list. If you want, and they're calling this the new office status symbol. You know what? Let's go to phones on this. The phones are actually ringing here. All right, folks, is this really a deal? The $50 Stanley Quencher office cup, or I guess it's any kind of cup. And the story is that it's like the new designer status symbol. A symbol, it's the tumbler that's only a little smaller than the Stanley Cup, they say. And it goes for, on the secondary market, there's like a black market for these things.
Because you can't find them.
They're $50 normally, but they're being sold for 2 to 3 times the amount on the black market.
You know, if you want one of these and you want it because it has 40 ounces or it holds 40 ounces, I have a suggestion. Just go get a smaller bottle and keep going to the water cooler and filling it up. It's like good exercise. Like, is the lure because it holds so much? Is that why it's so great?
Well, it also has a solid handle and it has a different fitting lid.
All right. I want to go to phones on this. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Do you use the Stanley Quencher cup?
It's the most ridiculous looking cup.
Do you use the Stanley Quencher, or are you on a mission and you can't find the Stanley Quencher? Do you have somebody in your office that uses the Stanley Quencher and they think they're, ooh, better than everybody else because they've got a Stanley Quencher and you can't get one right now because they're all back ordered and there's a waiting list? I got to hear Stanley. I didn't know about this damn thing until I saw a story over the weekend on the Stanley Quencher $50 cup. And it's like, you know, a sealed, it's, you know, like it's like a one of those tumbler things. It's got a top. It's got like a straw hole. And
it's a tumbler. But it's got the hard handle on it.
Yeah.
And it's tapered to fit in car cup holders.
So it'll do that. The bottom's tapered.
Yeah.
All right. 800-990-1047. Let me know what's going on here. And if you've been trying to find one and you can't get one, it's sold out. 800-990-1047. Or if you know somebody in the office that thinks they're just elite because they've got the Stanley tumbler here, the Stanley Quencher. All right, Fester's wife is on the hotline. Allison, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so folks, this is Fester's wife, Allison, and I'm talking about this thing, and suddenly Fester says, Allison has a bunch of these. So you're like inside this Stanley Quencher cult?
I love it. I'm a part of the cult, and I have three.
Just three of these ridiculous cups.
Well, apparently you can sell it on the secondhand market for 2 to 3 times what you paid for them because people can't get them right now.
Well, my first one, I hadn't had any of these cups, and then I wanted one real bad, and they were all sold out in the color that I wanted. So the first one I got, I bought it on the Facebook Marketplace, and I actually bought it for $75.
Oh, my God. So you paid like $25 on top of what, even more on top of the MSRP.
What?
I did. And it was worth it. I love them.
Are we that rich?
What? Hold on, Professor, are you finding out? What? Are you finding out now that your wife is paying $75 for water cups?
I had no idea. I had no idea you spent $75 on that craft cup.
Ooh, the secrets that you keep. Oh, surprise!
What?
Stanley freaking Quencher. I didn't hear about this thing until 24 hours ago.
But then she found them online in her color, right? How many? What colors do you have, Allison?
I have a yellow one, I have a sage green one, and I have a pink one.
How about baby diaper brown? Do you have that one?
No, but it'll be on my list next time they go around.
Fessy, you ought to just collect these in the house and just sell them.
No kidding.
For two times the price.
Oh, my God.
What you ought to do.
I have to sell them for double the price just to recoup my investment already in that one cup.
Thanks, Allison.
Bye.
All right, before I move on to something else, the Stanley Quencher lines have jammed up here. Now, Festa, you're on Google, and I'm seeing all these, like, here's REI, and we've got a new REI at Midtown, and it says you could pick it up today.
Yeah. So they make different sizes. All right. The Stanley Adventure is a couple ounces smaller.
Oh, that's a smaller one.
I mean, they make...
Oh, that's the 30-ounce tumbler. I guess it's the 40-ounce is the one that people want, right?
That's the one I need to get my hands on and mark up.
Let me go to phones here. Let me grab line six. Hey, Nina is in Tampa. Hey, Nina, welcome to the MJ Morning Show.
Hi, good morning.
All right, Nina, are you into the whole Stanley Quencher deal here?
Okay, I was not, because in this random moms group I'm in on Facebook, moms were finding them and then buying them in bulk and then selling them for like $100.
Oh my God.
My wife was a customer.
It's a racket.
Plus shipping. So I was like, I'm not paying $100 for a cup. Then I actually got served an ad on like Instagram for the Stanley Cup website that they were in stock, so then I bought one.
Now, did you buy like a $30, $40, or $50? Which one did you buy? How much was yours?
$50.
Right.
And then I bought my employees all one for Christmas. So we're all now have Stanley Cups.
So you went from, I don't want any part of this, to now you're like ordering a dozen of these things.
Correct. I did.
All right. Is it that good?
It, I just think it's like a good, I hate drinking water, so it kind of forces me to drink water, but then it stays cold, it can fit in your cup holder, and I love the colors, so it was sold.
They're saying it's the new office status symbol, the Stanley Quencher cup.
Correct.
All right. Nina, thanks for sharing, Nina. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.